Call in to Live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Human tipping point right now. I mean, civil war could be just around the corner. I mean, quite literally, it could be there. And we are at a precipice right now. We're at this tipping point. We're standing at a fulcrum. Could be. It could happen. And it can happen in France. It can happen in the UK. It can happen here. The fourth turning is affecting the entire global pattern of humanity in this destructive phase, no matter where it happens to be. So people can either frantically surrender to the destructive phase, but if you're going to be this warrior that is going to play a role, take a part in the evolution of the human condition, then you're not going to go to a negative place. What you're going to do is go to a place of positivity.
I love how you describe what I'm doing in wave form, creating a destructive wave that's going to destroy the destructive wave. I'm putting that on my resume. That's going to get me out of bed in the morning.
That, I have seen a lot of dead bodies as a soldier, but that worked for those years being there, just began to disintegrate and dissolve my soul. That I actually saw a full colonel, and I won't say what branch of service, but a full colonel started taking fentanyl off the bodies and consuming it. And that was something that eroded, but I really began to understand, you know, the power of the fourth turning and what was occurring in this global perspective.
Yeah, thank God that your voice is coming back to this age, because it's desperately needed. Your viewpoint is unique and prolific, and we've been missing you, so I'm glad that you're back, David.
Oh, thank you. Things have gotten pretty crappy, haven't they?
Oh, my God.
Not on the faraway battlefields, but right here at home.
I mean, I got so tired of people parroting the same words. We're more divided than ever. We're more divided than ever. Every day. It's just being drilled into the global consciousness. And we've just literally made
Mark. What are you doing about it?
The shock value daily since Trump got in has been ridiculous, and it's just elevated. So on the astrological new year of this year, March 21st, I just went, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
We're reframing this. And I'm talking to everybody who is anybody in this field, and very grateful that you're one of the first, because like I was saying in the intro, the way you articulate things, you know, it's the depth is very helpful, and this is where we need to start today. So what is your overview of where we're at?
Well, we're squarely within the fourth turning. And you realize that you are this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, that everything is energy and therefore everything can be expressed as waveform on some level. And when you begin to see and experience the world in that way, yes, we are now, you know, we have coalesced into this physical being. And we look around us and we see coalesced physical beings all over. And then when we truly understand that we are 99.9% space, that we are all waveform in that 99.9% space, that we are all decohered into just that matrix field as we describe it, right? And we coalesce to see ourselves in this physical property. That's what happened. But when you surrender to the reality that everything is energy and therefore everything is a waveform on some level, and you understand therefore that you are omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, that you're this powerful being that has coalesced into this physical existence. We have to be warriors. We have to be individuals who powerfully stand in our own moment in a way that we are going to protect ourselves and our loved ones, and we are going to do everything that we can do in the moment to affect the human outcome in this fourth turning. You either have to extricate yourself from that by focusing on other things deliberately so that you do not get entrained. But so many people just turn their face toward the source of these, of this horrible negativity, and they allow themselves to be entrained. They allow their lives, their physical, spiritual, emotional well-being to simply be amplified and follow that frequency. But more critically, that amplitude, that's a powerful wave form of destructive construct that's out there right now.
Yeah.
One thing that we've gleaned clearly and most importantly out of this hour, which is going by way too fast, is the real depth and breadth of the seriousness of the situation, of why we need to be turning the WTF into where to focus right now. I, for one, plan to do it as though my very reality depends upon it, and invite anyone listening to do the same. The most frustrating thing is the varying degrees of not being able to reach people like your dinner friend, right, who's still out there attracting Mr. Wrong.
Yeah.
Anything that you can suggest that makes a difference, you know, to create stronger entrainment to awaken people? What can we do?
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back and we're live. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney. This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, now in its 22nd year. And WTF is what we're doing right now. Where to focus? I've been saying WTF quite often in the last couple of years in a different context, but we're reframing it. And we are doing a series where I'm speaking to amazing people around the world on where to focus and what to do about it. Today, one of my favorites of all time, prolific speaker, teacher, former CIA remote viewer, David Morehouse. We've done, I think, over 22 hours of, at least, of shows over the 22 years. I've attended all of the trainings that I know of that he's had more than once, over a 15-year period. We've gone off to Puerto Rico and the Alliance of the New Humanities with Deepak Chopra, gone on to Universal Studios and done Proof Positive, a show proving the positivity and the reality of remote viewing. We've been in the middle of nowhere, Peru, watching UFOs for hours. We've done a lot of work over the years, and he has been one of the most profound and important people that I've connected to for experiential work that I've just mentioned, plus his ability to connect the physics with the metaphysics and really speak to the evolving edge of the human condition. We're going to talk to him now about where to focus. David, welcome back.
Hey. Thank you,
hey.
Nicole. It's great to be back. It's good to hear your voice again. And
I know.
I'm sorry, I've got my dog with me. His name is Sherman, and hopefully Sherman will not attempt to become a showrunner and, step in. I'm getting him some snacks right now. I'm babysitting my German Shepherd here.
Oh, Sherman.
But,
love that.
Hey, it's just amazing to be back. I loved your introduction. I'm trying to find Nowhere Peru on the map as we speak.
It's in the middle.
Nowhere Peru. That was good. Being gone for so long, I mean, you know, it happened fast. I was gone for, you know, out of the nut for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know? It was a long time. I think we may have snuck a show in there.
We did, 3
maybe
years ago.
Maybe once, maybe twice. Did we?
Yep, 3 years ago.
My goodness. I should probably explain to listeners that why I did this.
Okay.
I just got to a point where we were in Las Vegas where I was so busy focusing on other businesses. And I know you and I met in Vegas for lunch, and I was telling you about that stuff. It's been kind of crazy. When the war started, I was still teaching remote viewing by the war. I mean, when 9/11 happened, and everybody knows what that is, but everything started to ramp up, and I was still teaching remote viewing. but I still had the special operations background in the military. And at that particular time, the military was looking for people with my kinds of skill set. They were looking for guys younger, but I had only been out of the Army, I had resigned in 5 years prior to that happening. So most of the guys like me were going into the contracting field and doing that stuff. A lot of guys went back into the National Guard where they could serve there, just impart their knowledge and their experience base there. But I made a promise to Patty that I would not go back as a shooter. And so in this global war on terror, things that started to emerge was this whole new field of medicine that I told you about, which is, it's called operational medicine, or defined as actions at the point of wounding on the battlefield. This war was completely different in Afghanistan and Iraq from a medical perspective. And so I had a pre-med background, and so I opted to work with some physician friends and others, and we had a company called Deployment Medicine International that I worked with. And I left that company after about 8 years. I was a part owner, and then I left it. But I was able to work in the business of saving lives, and it's called tactical combat casualty care. And so I became subject matter expert in TCCC for Defense Medical Material Program Office for the National Center for Medicine at Columbus, Ohio, right next to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, working for Wright State University. And it was an interesting 10 years, but as it started to ramp up around 2005, I just started to realize that I was in kind of overwhelm. It was very difficult to be focusing in the business of doing that and teaching massive classes of 500 students, that kind of stuff. I was not a medical teacher, but I was in charge of and organizing all of this stuff as vice president of operations. And then in 2006, I just got to the point where I said, look, I cannot do this anymore. And I said, the time now is for other teachers that I have trained for them to pick this up and to go with it. And so 2006, I left this community so I could focus in the other areas. Other teachers have been teaching and when and where I would be able to lend my abilities and my service to come in and lecture, doing like online stuff like we're doing right now, doing Q&A, those kinds of things. But due to health issues, like you and I have been talking about, I got really sick 2 years ago and I was diagnosed with some pretty significant immune deficiencies and been fighting ever since. But I'm out of the woods on that now. And during that time, I just started to get to the point where I thought, I need to change tracks again. It's time for me to let other people do this tactical combat casualty care thing, and it's time for me to get back into teaching remote viewing and becoming the philosopher that I wanted to be and the writer that I wanted to be. So I'm kind of rebirthing and coming back into that community again, and you're just one of the first people that I've actually started to do that with. There's a class that's happening there in Vancouver. I don't even know if you knew about it,
Becca.
But you can go to the Core Potentials Academy. Becca. Yeah, it's the Core Potentials Academy. People that are interested can sign up for the classes there. The class starts on Friday. If it's within their ability, it's something that they probably would not want to miss. David Hughes is going to be teaching the structure, and then I'll be there doing Q&A in the evenings and lecturing at other times throughout the class. But David Hughes will be there teaching the structure. And for those that don't know, David Hughes used to be the vice president of Sony Music. He's a really brilliant guy, speaks fluent Japanese, and he's a Canadian as well, living in Washington, D.C. now because he works for RIAA. Now, I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's something to do in the recording industry. So he's just a brilliant guy, really, really smart, very articulate, fully understands remote viewing and just will do a stellar job of teaching it. I have every confidence in him being there doing that. So I hope you are over there watching, seeing, doing, and participating if you can.
We will get that link posted up by the end of this hour, actually. I didn't realize I thought I'd actually missed out on promoting that. So we'll let people know. But thank God that thank God that your voice is coming back to this age, because it's desperately needed. Your viewpoint is unique and prolific, and we've been missing you. So I'm glad that you're back, David.
Oh, thank you. Things have gotten pretty crappy, haven't they?
Oh, my God. Oh my God!
Not on the battle, the faraway battlefields, but right here at home.
I mean,
you know,
I got so tired of people parroting the same words. We're more divided than ever. We're more divided than every day. It's just being drilled into the global consciousness. And we've just literally made.
What are you doing about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we got, you know, the shock value daily since Trump got in has been ridiculous, and it's just elevating. So on the astrological new year of this year, March 21st, I just went, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So we're reframing this. And I'm talking to everybody who is anybody in this field, and very grateful that you're one of the first, because like I was saying in the intro, the way you articulate things, you know, it's the depth is very helpful. And this is where we need to start today. So what is your overview of where we're at?
Well, we're squarely within the fourth turning. And, this is by design that we are where we are. The human condition set itself, you know, to do this with an extremely high amplitude. We know the fourth turning is just part of a cyclic waveform expression of the evolution of humanity, both on an emotional, spiritual, and physical level. And when we go through this fourth turning, this is the destructive phase of human evolution. This is a point where we are going to start exposing, breaking down, destroying ourselves, our institutions, our philosophies, our theology. Everything is going to be cracking and crumbling, and people, whether they know it or not, are going to be energetically contributing to this. Just like you said, you keep watching the news, you keep going and surrounding yourself with inflammatory people, you keep involving yourself in things that theoretically, you can change, but realistically, you have no power to change it. But the fact that you're involving yourself in it, what you're actually doing is contributing your element of energy into that waveform, that destructive waveform. You get caught up in it. It's called entrainment. You know, it's a physics property explaining this. You're entraining yourself. You're getting in there. It's like you're on a trampoline with a big heavyweight. And when you're on a trampoline with a big heavyweight, you're not controlling where that heavyweight goes. That heavyweight is controlling where you're going. And the more people that get on there, unless they outweigh that heavyweight, the heavyweight is still now training three people, four people, five people, six people. Now take it up to, you know, this analogy that we're sharing here. It's this one multiple negative powerful events in the fourth turning that are global in nature. You either have to extricate yourself from that by focusing on other things deliberately so that you do not get entrained. But so many people just turn their face toward the source of this horrible negativity, and they allow themselves to be entrained. They allow their lives, their physical, spiritual, emotional well-being to simply be amplified and follow that frequency. But more critically, that amplitude, that's a powerful wave form of destructive construct that's out there right now.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it not to frighten people. I'm just saying it so people understand the physics of the metaphysics of that, that it's there. So you can either allow yourself passively or actively to be entrained, or you can actively step out of that. Step out of that waveform and focus on something else. And there are lots of different solutions that we can articulate. We could do an entire show just on that, just talking about possibilities. But primarily what I do is try to teach people to understand the power of themselves within the moment. Teach is not really a takeoff from Eckhart Tolle. You know that I use the science behind the moment, Dirac's delta function, and then everything that Paul Dirac derived the equation from, and the modifications that we've applied to the equation so that we're understanding the elements of change and time, and how they're attempting to approach zero but never reaching it, and how they're attempting to approach the infinite but never reaching it. And through that understanding, you come from that scientific understanding that we demonstrate, and it's very difficult to articulate it because you're talking about an eight-dimensional construct that's being displayed in a two-dimensional diagram, you know, an embedded diagram, a slide. And you're trying to explain to people, you know, an eight-dimensional world that you are existing in and what all that means about the past and the present and the fact that neither of those two elements truly exist, that it is just the moment moving through an infinite field of possibilities in this eight-dimensional construct we call the matrix field. And in moving through that, you understand that the only thing you're in charge of is the moment and what you're doing with yourself in the moment. Because the more powerful you make yourself in the moment, the more focused you become in the moment, the more you detach and let go of the past as you see it, remembering that the past is not really a past. It just happens to be a moment that you move through, and then it goes away. Now, every time you consciously try to go back and relive or readdress moment in the past, what happens? In the past, rather, what happens? Your conscious mind changes it. It flips it. It moves it. It morphs it. Changes it. Makes it more significant or less significant. The point is that it's not real anymore. The only thing that's real about it is what you give it. So if you focus back again on the moment and everything that's important to you in the moment to perfect yourself, to truly be, I heard a previous speaker talking about being a warrior of some sort. That's a good term. You know, we were warriors. We have to be warriors. We have to be individuals who powerfully stand in our own moment in a way that we are going to protect ourselves and our loved ones, and we are going to do everything that we can do in the moment to affect the human outcome in this fourth turning. We either participate in the total destruction and reconstruction of humanity as we know it, or we focus primarily on what we can do now to ensure that the reconstruction is the kind of world, the kind of life, the kind of existence that we want it to be. And again, I apologize for throwing all that out there and just the verbiage, because I know it's difficult to grasp, but the future for us just is a field of infinite possibilities. Now, the more we control the moment, the more power we give ourselves in the moment, the more we are focused in the moment, what begins to happen is, from an infinite field of possibilities, we begin to develop energetically strings of probabilities. And these various strings of probabilities are nothing more than a collection of moments that begin to string themselves like pearls, if you will, just to create that image in your mind. It's not really what it does, but just to create that image in your mind. You're standing in the moment, and just on the other side of the moment, what we're looking at is all of these different pathways to take. And each of those pathways has on it a string of pearls, moment after moment after moment after moment. Now, these strings of pearls, you can start walking on one pathway, and how you react in a moment, 20 moments from now, might cause you to change and jump to another pathway. So the idea, again, is that you are only in control of the moment. You are not in control of the strings of probabilities that are out there. However, the more power you put into the moment, the more you cause yourself to live the frequency and the amplitude that you choose to live, you start to develop these strings, these patterns of potentials that you begin to manifest in your life. Is that clear? I mean, does that make sense to you?
Crystal,
that if you focus on the negative, you will attract the negative. If you focus on chaos, you will bring chaos into your life. If you focus on love, if you focus on knowledge, if you focus on method and practice and the kinds of things that make you get up in the morning and feel good and feel healthy and be in love and want to do something powerful in that moment, in that day, throughout that day, and all the moments that are in that day, you will begin to attract a pattern of potentials that is manifesting the life that you're looking for. Man, we just had dinner the other night, and we had dinner with a friend that, actually a person that, you know, 10 years ago, she and her husband ended up selling us our home here in Las Vegas. So they kind of became friends to us and some other friends that were here in Vegas. But something terrible happened with the husband in this relationship. Terrible, almost unimaginable. And he's serving prison time as a result of it. But this beautiful woman, this huge, tall, blonde, you know, that's just gorgeous, she has, since he left, since he was taken away for prison, she has had, and she divorced him, she has had one crappy relationship right after the other. I mean, like almost to a year, just one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. you know, every time we go to dinners, like, she just, like, I just attract, you know, I don't know what it is. I just keep attracting these really horrible men. You know, I can look over my spaghetti and meatballs and say, don't you understand? You just used the operative word there. You attract it. You are living your life in such a way, and you believe about yourself in such a way that the energy around you in the moment is attracting a pattern of potentials, which is nothing more than bad relationship after bad relation, just moment after moment after moment, this pattern of potentials. And the only way you're going to change that is to change how you see yourself, is change what you want in your life and how you are living to make sure that what you want is what you attract and manifest in your life. This is a simple principle that a lot of people, much smarter, older, wiser than I, have imparted to humanity in various different ways, from books and lectures and scrolls and tablets, you name it. People have talked about this, and we keep hearing it, but we keep losing focus and sight of it, that all we're in charge of in this life is the moment. We can't keep reliving the past, and we can't keep thinking that the future that is a positive, bright, brilliant future for our lot, for ourselves and our loved ones is impossible for us to reach. And the largest section of humanity believes that. You know, they believe it. They believe that it's, you know, there might be something really good that's out there, but it's not going to happen to me. But it's not going to happen to us. And as people believe that, what's happening, you know, in this metaphysical explanation, in this analogy, you're just standing on the trampoline with a fat guy, you know. You just start jumping with them, you know. You just give up. You see what's out there, that there's a better one, that there's a better life out there, but you just keep jumping with the heavyweight, negative, downer power that's there around us. You know, you keep watching the news. You keep reading the newspaper. You keep believing what everybody says about everybody else. You just have to stop it. Just stop it. Stop doing that and only do the things that you can control in your life and around yourself. And if you'll do that, God, I promise you, it is a mathematical absolute that if you do those things, if you start dominating the moment in a positive way for yourself, that you will attract a pattern of potential that is what you want, the life that you want. It's not to say that there won't be somewhere out there some negative experience that is just part of life. But in the moment, how you deal with that negative experience is what decides whether you stay on the path that you want to be on or whether you suddenly get jumped to another path where you now have to work your way deliberately out of that path and start manifesting again a pattern of potentials that you truly want. Do you have questions? Because I've just nattered on there for about a long time.
Well, we like when you natter on. That's a good thing. But I'm curious, when you were at dinner, did you tell your friend that?
Yes, absolutely. And I told that to her every time.
Yeah.
I happened to be sitting at dinner with her, and she shares this experience with the last creepy guy she was with. And I mean, they're all creepy. These are guys that you would actually have to sit down. And I don't think in my wildest imagination I could even draw these kinds of characters. And yet she finds them. They just, like, stumble out of the woodwork around her because she attracts it. Just one after the other, she attracts it. And it rubs off on her friends, you know?
Hmm.
It rubs off on her friends because she begins to entrain her friends, and they start to think like her, girlfriends. And so girlfriends that may have had some, you know, either no relationship or were still looking for a relationship suddenly start to find the same kinds of guys, only from their perspective, right? And, I mean, these are really imaginary characters. I mean, they're pretty amazing to find a guy that is that screwed up who is willing to get into a relationship and destroy a woman's life. And that's what these guys are. And, yes, I explain it to her. And, I mean, I even draw the embedded diagram and try to teach her from that. I'll draw it right on a tablecloth or a napkin if I have to. I'll draw it. And I'll keep drawing it until she finally gets it. I mean, you can't just look at it and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's the Dr. Morehouse describing another, you know, physics equation to me, but it doesn't really make any difference. It's not really real. I mean, I really can't manifest what I'm looking for in life. I mean, come on, you know. And then it's, waiter, can I have another drink? It's like, you know, it's a matter of us surrendering to this mathematical absolute, to this physics absolute. You really understand it. If you really listen to what I'm saying and you really grasp it and understand it and you realize that you are this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, that everything is energy and therefore everything can be expressed as waveform on some level. And when you begin to see and experience the world in that way, yes, we are now, you know, we have coalesced into this physical being. And we look around us and we see coalesced physical beings all over. And then, you know, when we truly understand that we are 99.9% space, that we are all waveform in that 99.9% space, that we are all decohered into just that matrix field as we describe it, right? And we coalesce to see ourselves in this physical property. That's what it what happens. But when you surrender to the reality that everything is energy and therefore everything is a waveform on some level, and you understand, therefore, that you are omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, that you are this powerful being that is coalesced into this physical existence, and you have the ability in the moment, right now, the only thing you're in charge of. And when you apply the power that you are into the moment, that you will begin attracting what it is that you desire. If you desire crap, that's what you'll get. If you are focused in fear and focused in chaos and confusion and misunderstanding, hatred, whatever it's going to be, you will attract that. More and more and more and more of it will show up in your life. There will be an unending pattern of potentials that are all negative and destructive. And until you change your understanding, your manner and your mechanism, your knowing, not your belief, your knowing in the moment, that will be your life. But when you change to that knowing in the moment and begin to live your life in the moment in that fashion with a positive outlook, you will begin attracting positive outcomes. Those patterns of potentials are out there. There's an equal number of positives for negatives. So how do you stumble into the negatives all the time? There is only one explanation for it, and that is for that particular thing. I mean, she's really good at business. She's tremendous in selling houses and things. She's good at that. But in relationships, her focus is in the negative, and so all she ever attracts is the negative. And no matter how many times I try to explain to her how powerful she is, she doesn't deep down inside of herself believe it, and most people don't. It takes a lot of time and just genuine personal honesty to surrender to the reality of this. And if you do, I promise you, you'll create what you want to create. Look at you. I mean, you and I had this conversation, 22 years ago, right? Before you even started this radio show. And it was your belief in the moment, in yourself, that caused this to happen. And it happened just like that. I mean, we just talked about it, and it was, as I remember, just a thought in your head. And there it is. And look at what you've done with it. Just look at the knowledge you have given the world, and especially in this fourth turning, how powerful and significant that is to be a member of the human community that is contributing this positivity into this. What you're doing is creating a waveform that is a destructive waveform to this very powerful negative waveform. And the more waveforms that we're able to put in as we start to entrain ourselves all becoming like-minded, doesn't mean that we're all speaking the exact same words, that we're all thinking the exact same thing. But if we are all focused on this positive being in the moment and creating positivity for ourselves in the moment, we will begin to entrain each other, and we would become this powerful human waveform that begins to fracture and destroy this negative waveform. And that is how we break ourselves, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, out of the fourth turning. That's when we begin the reconstructive phase of the turnings, of the four human turnings. We will go through the destructive phase. And how bad the destructive phase is entirely no one else. You don't get to say it's the fault of aliens or the fault of, you know, dark energy for microbes. It is us.
You know, I remember you talking about the fourth turning decades ago, and it was all sort of hypothetical, far away in the future. It doesn't feel like that anymore. So it would be really good to get your perspective for those that are new to the concept of what you mean by that fully.
Well, it's just, I mean, you could Google the fourth turning, and you will see Well, let's do it right now. Let me just pull up so we can talk to what we might see.
All right.
Maybe the idea here is that perhaps I can get everybody looking at maybe the same slide, since this is an audio phone call, but let's just go.
Yeah, I'm going to my Google too.
Okay, first of all, there's an Amazon book called The Fourth Turning. There is a website called thefourthturning.com. Let's see what that says. It's talking about all the generational archetypes, and it has the four turnings. Well, it defines, if you go to, it's called lifecourse.com, Life Course Associates, and I am on the tab, it's about us, and it says the four turnings. And you read down, and it says the first turning, the second turning, the third turning, the fourth turning. Now, what I'm going to say to you is that if all of you do the research on this, you're going to get a number of different human interpretations of it.
Yeah.
Okay, and it gets, each interpretation has, it takes on its own flavor, some very simplistic, some very complex. Just suffice it to say that we know that since we have recorded history, we have, historians have gone back to look at these cycles that humanity seems to go through. And the key that we're talking about right now is the fourth turning, which is this destructive phase. So we come out of, you know, there's a constructive phase and a destructive phase, and they are pinned right together. And what we're focused on and concerned about right now is how we're living our lives in the destructive phase, so that we are minimizing the impact of the destructive phase. I mean, let's face it, without me putting the negative energy out there, we are at a human tipping point right now. I mean, civil war could be just around the corner. I mean, quite literally, it could be there. And, you know, some people will scoff and say, oh, pshaw, you know, boo, that's never going to happen. But that's what people said before the last civil war, remember? If you read history, people just didn't believe it. They just, it wasn't going to happen. And then it happened, and there it was. And sons and brothers and fathers were fighting each other. And we are at a precipice right now. We're at this tipping point. We're standing at a fulcrum. It could be. It could happen. And it can happen in France. It can happen in the UK. It can happen here. You know, that just the fourth turning is affecting the entire global pattern of humanity in this destructive phase, no matter where it happens to be. So people can either frantically surrender to the destructive phase and thereby either negate their input, they'll move away somewhere and isolate themselves and do nothing except to take care of them and their own. And that is one way to do that. But if you're going to be this warrior that is going to play a role, take a part in the evolution of the human condition, then you're not going to go to a negative place. What you're going to do is go to a place of positivity, where in the moment you are focusing, living, I don't care, praying, meditating, eating, wearing, living, walking, exercising, healthing, whatever it's going to be for yourself. Whatever the thing is that gives you the greatest sense of contribution in your life, that makes you feel the best. And you all know what they are, and they're different for each of us. But if we focus on those things, if we start doing those things, for example, I love to sculpt, but I stopped sculpting, you know, several years ago to focus on being part of, you know, medical healing for two wars and other conflicts. And honestly, that began to drag me down, you know, spiritually and energetically, because I was seeing really bad stuff. I spent several years working with Defense Medical Material Program Office, where I was going to Dover, Delaware, which is where all the KIAs from the Global War on Terror were coming back. People probably know that. If you don't, there is a collection point, which is Dover, Delaware, where all of the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines who are killed come to Dover, Delaware. And that is where everything is this somber protocol for how we handle the KIAs and bring them off, and they are processed, embalmed, and put in uniforms and put in military caskets, and then there is an escort officer or an escort NCO. Sometimes it is the brother escorting the body of his sister back, or it could be the sister escorting the body of her brother back home for burial. And, you know, I was in there with a medical team, and what we were doing was, as they unzipped the bag, body bags, we were looking for the medical devices which had been used on the battlefield to attempt to save the life of the individual before they succumbed to their injuries and passed. And those could be, you know, pelvic stabilizers. They could be tourniquets, multiple tourniquets, interosseous infusion devices, IV attempts, hemostatic agents, you name it. All of these things are used in tactical combat casualty care. And what we were essentially doing was looking for these devices. We were photographing the devices in a way that they were de-identified or unidentifiable on the bodies. And we were looking for their applications. We were looking to see whether or not they were effective, did the job they were supposed to do, and everything. So if you're getting the point that I'm on, it was hands on bodies, it was looking at bodies, it was dealing with medical devices. And that, I had seen a lot of dead bodies as a soldier, but that worked for those years. Being there just began to disintegrate and dissolve my soul. Yeah. I mean, it was wet-eyed, shaking, you know, coming out of it. And I had a really difficult time disassociating myself from just the sadness, the negative energy that was present in doing that job in that place. I mean, there were all sorts of things that attempted to elevate the mood, like through patriotism and, you know, flags that were present and the manner in which you handled the bodies and the purpose of being there and, you know, even how they left, you know, people lining up to salute as the bodies leave in a hearse to go to the airports. I mean, there were all those things there, an attempt to elevate and cause people to be focused on that aspect of it, as opposed to the fact that I was looking at a young man or a young woman, could have been 19 years old, you know, 20, 21 years of age, and many older, but, I mean, the cure for cancer might have been there. You know what I mean? The next great heart surgeon could have been there. The next great politician, save us all, you know, could have been there. And now they were no more. Their spirit was on into the hereafter. And that was something that eroded. But I really began to understand, you know, the power of the fourth turning and what was occurring in this global perspective. And so that became one of the things that was this slow-burning fuse to get me out of that, to say to myself, I've got to leave this. I have got to get back to teaching. I have got to get back in a way where I'm contributing. I'm contributing to saving lives here through the understanding of this and the science and building training methods that teach people to use the device more effectively than they used it on the battlefield. And a lot of procedural training errors and things that were there. But it was so destructive being part of that, that I actually saw a full colonel, and I won't say what branch of service, but a full colonel started taking fentanyl off the bodies and consuming it. Fentanyl is a class 2 narcotic that's used in tactical combat casualty care. And typically, it's a fentanyl lozenge. You tape them to the finger, the hands of like the thumb of a wounded, WIA soldier. And they can suck on this lozenge until they're numb from pain, or they pass out. When they pass out, their arm falls away and the lozenge comes out of their mouth. But just the energy of this place was so destructive that a full colonel, a career officer, started misusing fentanyl and then started taking fentanyl off the bodies and so that they could continue to go out into the van that brought us to the place and then to start using the fentanyl, just to numb, you know, to numb themselves from the energy that was there. And how much of that do you see? You know, people are always questioning the opiate crisis, you know, in Canada and America, and you're like, well, why is that?
Yeah,
because
no,
you're in the fourth turning, and people are trying to escape. That's just another method, you know, of checking out and not having it, trying to go into a neutral and not have to deal with it. Anyway, that was my just coming to this understanding of where I was in the world now and what was happening and the fact that I was beginning to be entrained into this. That no matter what was going on, is I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to the fact that we're in the fourth turning. And if I'm not paying attention to it, then what happens? You start to entrain with it, right? So I start to move at the same frequency and amplitude. But actually, at this point, we're the waveform expression of the cycle is peaking. We are the peaks and troughs. We are peaking in the fourth turning. And once we peak energetically in the fourth turning, then the fourth turning will begin to lose amplitude. It begins to slide down the backside of the wave into the trough at the low point, where it then transitions into the reconstructive phase. And so what we have to do is, in this time in the fourth turning, is focus again on the only thing that we are truly in charge of. I'm being repetitive now, but the only thing we're in charge of is the moment, right? And we're only in charge of ourselves in the moment. I cannot control what others are doing in their moment. I can only control what I'm doing. If what I'm doing in the moment is powerful and positive and focused, then I will entrain others that are around me to begin to be powerful and focused and positive. And the stronger I am for myself in that moment, the stronger they will be, because they will begin to entrain with me. Happens all the time. Doesn't mean that there won't be outliers. There won't be people that fight against that. No matter how powerful you are in attempting to entrain people into being positive and focused and deliberate in what they're doing in the moment, there will still be outliers that fight against you and rip away, or outliers that fight against you and attempt to input as powerfully as they can something to destroy what it is you and those that are entrained with you are trying to do. Happens all the time. It is part of any group dynamic if you're paying attention, right? So what to have is our eye on the prize, which is you have to know, don't focus on it, but know that the reconstructive phase is coming of this human evolution, of this human cycle, these turnings. What were you going to ask? I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just going to say, one thing that we've gleaned clearly and most importantly out of this hour, which is going by way too fast, is the real depth and breadth of the seriousness of the situation, of why we need to be turning the WTF into where to focus right now. I, for one, plan to do it as though my very reality depends upon it, and invite anyone listening to do the same. The most frustrating thing is the varying degrees of not being able to reach people like your dinner friend, right, who's still out there attracting Mr. Wrong.
Yeah.
Anything that you can suggest that makes a difference, you know, to create stronger entrainment to awaken people? What can we do?
It's a difficult question to answer because each of us are different. We all have different interests and likes and dislikes. And when one is talking to people about controlling yourself or, you know, being in charge of yourself in the moment, you're trying to use, you know, kind of generic words like focus and devotion, surrender, because each person has to kind of list for themselves the things that they truly are interested in, the things that they like, the things that they love. And I think it's okay to just kind of free association in your list to look at those things. What do I like? What do I enjoy? What do I love? Create that list, because those are objectifications. You are when you're writing this list. What's happening is, and I recommend that you do some meditation or some prayer, or get yourself into an altered state of consciousness where you are working devoid of judgment, if you can, devoid of analysis, devoid of just limitation, and be in this place where you are detecting from an eight-dimensional world, which is what the matrix field is. And we don't want to get into the definition of that right now. Again, I could talk for an hour just in defining an eight-dimensional world. But we are perceiving. When we are perceiving beyond the physical, when we are closing our eyes in an altered state of consciousness and we are accessing what is out there, that, you know, it has so many different names, you know, the global mind, the universal mind, Gaia, the matrix field, the ether, you name it. There's all man has assigned many, many names to this thing that is beyond the physical. This great vast void, as some call it, that it's anything but a void. It is completely filled with the waveform expression of all thought, all matter, all antimatter, all being, everything that is energy that is and can be expressed in waveform. So it is a holographic matrix field. Any single spot where you are, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, you have access to that. It doesn't mean that you have to be there or over there or over there. Where you are right here in the moment, you have access to the waveform expression of all things everywhere, all thought, all things. When I say all things, assign it to anything you can imagine, anything that pops in your mind. So it's there. So the idea here in this exercise is for you to be in this place where you close your eyes. I don't care. Put your hand on a piece of paper with a pen in your hand and start writing what comes to you. And you're asking for, what is it that I like? What is it that I enjoy? What is it that I love? What is it that I, you know, that you go through? And get this list compiled, and it is this free disassociation, as some people might want to call it. I call it detecting and decoding. Detecting meaning detecting the waveform expression eight-dimensionally. Then my conscious mind interprets that into four-dimensional concepts. So it's, you know, height, width, depth, and time. It deconstructs it into four dimensions, and then I, four-dimensional concept, and then I objectify it on the paper, which is two-dimensional. So you can understand there's this tremendous system of pruning that moves at the speed of thought, right? I step into a place where I am omniscient, right? And I access that information about what is powerful for me, what it is that, you know, I truly love, that I'm truly passionate about. And I begin to prune that down four-dimensionally and then ultimately two-dimensionally on the page. So the exercise can be repeated many times to build the list, because you prune at the speed of thought, which is faster than the speed of light. But once you have your list compiled, now go through the list and begin to prune the list and really start finding those things that move you, that are, I mean, these go beyond love or just passionate or whatever it is. This is the ultimate thing for you to look at these things, whether they are things you do, people you see, books you read, paintings you look at, I mean, colors that you put on your walls, all of these things. And you create this thing, which is everything about it, everything that you're doing is what empowers you to be positive and to be in a reconstructive construct in your mind, in your spirit, in your being, that what you're doing in the moment, which you are in charge of, is all focused on those things, not this outside chaos scratching on the blackboard that is out there right now, that between hats and murder and gun, you know, all the other crap that's out there. Stop allowing that to be in this moment and focus on these other things from a very powerful list that you developed. And then once that is developed and you start looking at that, and you look at it every day, look at it every morning before you start your day, look at it at every noonday as your cycle has reached the peak for that day. So look at it to remind yourself and embed that thought and that focus, and that manner of being and living in absoluteness within your life and in the moment. Look at it again at night before you go to bed, because then you're in this stage where you can do what is called thought incubation. You have this entire night of entering into this dream state with this amazing brainwave state that you're down in, right? Down into theta and delta, right? And even below that. When you get down into those states and you've got these powerful words that you are now incubating, that you now begin to dream with those words, you begin to dream situations, you begin to put yourself in places far away, maybe in another dimension, where you're actually inserting yourself into that thing, wearing that power that you're bringing into that place. You come out in the morning and you're refreshed, renewed, powerful again. You can even objectify what it is that you experience during the thought incubation of this sleep. You use that. Maybe you add to your list, take away from your list, and you start it all over again. I promise you, if you will do something as simple as that, just as simple as that, you will begin to start creating and manifesting in your life that which you desire, that which you want and need, that which you are passionate about, that which you will use to help destroy the amplitude of the current fourth turning and increase the amplitude of and shorten the wavelength of the destructive phase. You do realize, I didn't say it, but we can shorten this waveform. It has these peaks and valleys, right? So it has the amplitude and the frequency. Frequency is the number of waves in any given measurement, your measurement of time, right? And through our conscious effort that we assert into unconscious effort, when we begin to live and think that way, but through the experience of doing and the in the physical and the non-physical world, is that we begin to decrease the waveform. We begin to compress the waveform. We begin to not only drop its amplitude, but we begin to narrow the frequency base. And when that happens, that moves us out of the fourth turning faster and then back into the reconstructive phase. And when we get into the reconstructive phase, which is considered the new first turning, right?
We're going to have to pick that up right there. We've got to get you back on. We cannot leave it at that. And we've already passed the top of the hour, so it went way too fast. But
Sorry. We're
off. We really need to get you back on. Will you come back on, David, and share some more?
Absolutely. Why don't you just consider doing it as a regular show? I'm happy to come on. If your listeners are interested, I'm happy to come on regularly. Just schedule a time, and we'll do it.
Okay, I'm going to send you an email today. We'll get you on very quickly to continue the conversation because this is right where we need to be right now. WTF, where to focus, not the other one. That's what it's time for. David, stay healthy. We need you here. I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, thank you, my dear. I look forward to the email and we'll set something up. Thanks to everyone that's listening and supporting Nicole. Love you.
I love how you describe what I'm doing in wave form, creating a destructive wave that's going to destroy the destructive wave. I'm putting that on my resume. That's going to get me out of bed in the morning. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Love you so much, David.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Nicole. Bye now.
Bye for now. David Morehouse, former CIA remote viewer. That was live this March. What the heck is the date? March 27th, 2019, part of the WTF series that I'm doing every day on News for the Soul. Karen hopefully will call back in, and we're starting a little bit late, open lines. What's going to happen is we have to reset the switchboard. So if you're on it now, which I see some of you are, you're going to get cut off, but just dial back in, and we will start a couple minutes from right now.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
I've come to the understanding that what is probably happening on the planet is that we are evolving into a super species able to create and do things that are quite astounding, and that the next evolutionary leap is in consciousness. And so I've based this all upon science and put together science and mysticism and come up with this vision. What we're going to do is we're going to create a healing ceremony. And in the healing ceremony, what we do is I will be creating a virtual healing temple. And when I say I am creating it, we as a group will create it. I will lead the group into how we do it. And we do it simply through our will and through our intention and through our understanding of everything is connected, everything is energy, our thoughts are vibrating energy, and that what we're going to do is through this, we will create a virtual healing temple whereby we will bring in healing energy from the present, from the past, from the future, and that we will begin to tap in to what I call the energy signature of health and healing that exists as a template in the universe, and we'll vibrate that. And so I'm expecting that people are going to get huge benefits from it and many, many healings.
Welcome to News for the Soul's 20th anniversary broadcast series. News for the Soul, the longest running spiritual empowerment and exploration broadcast in North America, started its 21st year in January 2018, and we're just getting warmed up. It's time to take it to the next level, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth in our 21st year with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. So if you're ready to find out together, get ready for Life-Changing Talk Radio, from the uplifting to the unexplained, Platinum Edition. Here is News for the Soul.
And we are live. It's Saturday, March 31st, and March already, 2018. That's something very special for you today. And Nicole Marie Whitney, News for the Soul, Life-Changing Talk Radio, from the uplifting to the unexplained. And one of our original founding members on the line, and someone who many of you know, value, have studied with for many years, and are familiar with the work of. And for those that don't, you're going to be very happy that you now will be after today. The original, well, some call him the grandfather of the mind power movement, John Kehoe. We've talked to him over the years. I've done many of his trainings right from the early days, long before News for the Soul was a glint in anyone's eye. And it was really a big part of the basis of being able to go from nowhere to now here. And I carried around several of his books in my bags, like Bibles, for a lot of years. Mind Power into the 21st Century, Money, Success, and You. Those are my two personal favorites. He has many others, and he has something new to talk about today. And for those of you in the Vancouver area or willing to come to the Vancouver area, we have a special treat to tell you about his new event, Quantum Health and Healing. So we're going to talk all about that right now. Let's get started. John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you again.
It's always a pleasure, John. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm actually, April marks 40 years of me touring and teaching, and so I'm in a very reflective place, looking back at the amazing journey of 40 years traveling around the world and all the books I've written and people that I've touched. And I'm still, you know, working on new material and still growing and evolving. So that's a good sign.
That is a good sign indeed. I think we do that until we don't do anything. And we are not.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very curious about this new work that you're bringing forward. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I wrote a book, my most recent book actually is called Quantum Warrior, The Future of the Mind. And what I've done in this book is I've taken the most up-to-date scientific discoveries on quantum physics, and I've put them together with the mystical teachings of our major religions. And the religions that I've chosen to work with are Christianity, Buddhism, the Jewish Kabbalah, and shamanism. And so working with these religions and their insights and truths, and putting together this with quantum physics, I've come to the understanding that what is probably happening on the planet is that we are evolving into a super species able to create and do things that are quite astounding, and that the next evolutionary leap is in consciousness. And so I base this all upon science, and put together science and mysticism and come up with this vision.
So how important and prominent is the mysticism side of things?
Well, the mystic side of it just gives a different viewpoint from the quantum side, because the quantum side is quite extraordinary. It's there's one of the founders of quantum theory, Niels Bohr. He said, "If you are not stunned by and shocked by quantum theory, then you don't understand it." And we do get quite stunned and shocked, because what quantum theory, which is describing quantum reality, is that our world is different than what we've thought it is, and that everything is vibrating energy, and that there is what they call entanglement, in that everything is connected with everything else, or what Albert Einstein referred to as spooky action at a distance, uh-huh. where one thing affects everything else. And so this is what quantum physics is telling us, and yet it defies our five senses, because in our five senses, what we see is everything different from everything else, and nothing is really connected, that I have nothing to do with the tree, and I'm different from my wife, and I'm certainly different from the house I live in, that we're all separate and independent energies and vibrations, and that's how we experience the world. But that is not what quantum physics is telling us. So with my new work on quantum health, I'm beginning to meld these all together.
So how are you melding those together, and why health?
Well, why health is because health is very important to all of us. It's probably the one that we're least interested in when we're well, and that's kind of the irony, isn't it? When everything's going great and we have no health issues, then the things that we're most interested in is making money and getting a good relationship and having a fun and interesting life, which are all very important and valuable, and I'm all for all of those things. But the minute that you have a health issue, that becomes very much secondary, and then we become very, very interested in our health and healing ourselves of whatever it is that's bothering us. So health and my understanding of health is different now than it used to be. And so I want to bring a quantum perspective to health and how we can use the teachings, the mystic teachings, and also the quantum physics to take a new approach to healing ourselves.
So tell us about what the event is that's coming up and how this is going to work.
All right. Well, I'm doing a live event in Vancouver, and that is on Monday, April the 16th, and Tuesday, April the 17th, and that's at the UBC Convention Center. And what's going to be happening is I'm going to be sharing these new healing methodologies. I call it quantum health and healing. And I'm very aware that your listenership is global, and that people can, the vast majority of our listeners, of course, are not going to be able to make that event. But we are going to be filming it, and we are going to be making it available to everybody, because I want everybody to know and understand how this works.
So what's different and unique about your approach to this healing?
Well, there are so many different things that are a different approach. First of all, let's look at the way that we normally look at health and healing, is that we try to the best of our abilities to look after our bodies through nutrition and through exercise, some of us more successful than others. But that's kind of it. And for a lot of us, it's almost paid quite lip service. For example, we know that exercise is really important, but we just don't have the time to exercise. We know it's good to eat nutritious meals, but we don't have the time to cook. But with the methodology, and by the way, this is all very, very important, but I don't have a whole lot to add about nutrition and exercise. I think that's well covered. There's a plethora of material out there on that. What I do have to add, as you know, my work has been all around consciousness and the powers of the mind. I think what I do have to add is how the mind can play a part in our healing and in our health. And so what we do in the quantum health and healing is that we first of all try to understand the world that we are living in, the reality that everything is vibrating energy. Everything is vibrating energy, and that everything is connected. And so what you do, and I have four different stages of this. First of all, you have to know that. And knowing it is either reading about it and or listening to an interview such as this, where the guest is saying, okay, it's all vibrating energy. Everything is connected. And so, okay, you go, okay, I know that. But then the second level is that you have to understand it. Now, knowing it is not understanding it. And we make a big mistake on that. We think because we know something that we understand it. For example, you can say, I know that exercise is good for me. But if you don't exercise it, you don't understand it. Obviously, you don't, because if you did understand it, then you would exercise. So we fool ourselves by thinking because we know something that we understand it. And it's the same thing with coming to terms with the reality that we're living in. Just because you say, yes, I know that everything is vibrating energy and I know everything is connected, that doesn't mean that you understand it. Now, how do you get to understand it? Well, you understand it by contemplating it. You understand it by thinking about it every day. And I'm not talking about being preoccupied with it every day. I'm talking about most of my exercises, as you're familiar with my work, are five-minute exercises. So what you would do is you would spend 5 minutes every day simply contemplating that that everything is vibrating energy and that everything is connected. And then I take it one step further. If everything is vibrating energy, then also our thoughts are vibrating energy. And so everything is vibrating energy. Everything is connected. My thoughts are vibrating energy. And then you contemplate this for 5 minutes every day. And over a period of maybe a week or two, what happens is that you start to understand it. So then you don't just know it, then you understand it. Now, the third stage is that you feel it. Because feeling is not the same as knowing or understanding. Knowing and understanding works with the mind. Feeling works with the body. And so that you feel the truth of this. And so you let your body have a vibrational feeling of everything is vibrating energy, everything is connected, thoughts are vibrating energy, and that you just resonate this and feel it and allow your body to absorb it. And then practicing this technique for 5 minutes every day, what will happen is that you will then begin to not just know it, not just understand it, but you will begin to feel it. And then the fourth stage is you become it. And by becoming it, then you become active in your healing. So what about that?
You know, I have a arsenal of empowerment rampage material when I want to immerse in positive stuff. And I've got your complete online course in there. I refer back to it as the basics, and I really want to implement this health aspect to it, so I'm excited. Who needs to be there? Who's going to benefit by going to your, you know, what's going to happen at this event?
Well, the first part, it's a two-hour event, a two-and-a-half-hour event. It's going from 7 in the evening till 9:30. Well, anybody that has is interested in health. And so if you are healthy now, then it will give you tools and techniques that you can maintain your health and become even more vital and youthful. And so it's quantum health and healing. So anybody that has anything, an ailment of any sort, then we're going to be talking about the methods on healing yourself as well. So that's who it's for.
All right. Will you be doing any processes there, any actual healing?
Well, interesting you should say that, because the first part of the evening is going to be on the theory part. And so I'll explain everything in very scientific terms on why this works and how this works. And then in the second section, what we're going to do is we're going to create a healing ceremony. And in the healing ceremony, what we do is I will be creating a virtual healing temple. And when I say I am creating it, we as a group will create it. I will lead the group into how we do it. And we do it simply through our will and through our intention and through our understanding of everything is connected, everything is energy, our thoughts are vibrating energy, and that what we're going to do is through this, we will create a virtual healing temple whereby we will bring in healing energy from the present, from the past, from the future, and that we will begin to tap in to what I call the energy signature of health and healing that exists as a template in the universe, and will vibrate that. And so I'm expecting that people are going to get huge benefit from it and many, many healings.
Wow. Okay, let's tell them where it is and how they can sign up to go.
Okay. Well, I think it's at, I think if you go to Eventbrite, that is the ticket service, or you could go on to my website, learnmindpower.com, or just Google John Kehoe, and that will, that's, Kehoe is K-E-H-O-E. And go on to Eventbrite, or I guess there's a direct link.
Eventbrite, John Kehoe.
Oh, here's my wife has joined in on here. Sylvia, come on in.
Hi.
Sylvia, where do they go? Where do they go to register for it?
They go to Eventbrite and just put in John Kehoe Quantum Health and Healing.
There you go.
All right. And alternatively, of course, we've got it posted on newsforthesoul.com. Just go to today's show and we'll keep that link with the archive and you'll be able to find it there. Less typing.
Great.
And it's been so great, John. I'm so excited to reconnect with you and Sylvia and to see you at your event. I'm looking forward to it very much.
Yeah, no, it's going to be something very, very special. And so we're very excited about it.
I look forward to seeing you there, Nicole.
Me too. Yay. It's been a while. So thanks again for being here.
It's going to be awesome. It's been a while since John has done one of these, and I've been after him for years.
She said, you've got to bring back health and healing, John. You've got to bring back the
evolved
health. But it's evolved. It's a much more evolved model. So we're very, very excited about bringing it to Vancouver.
Well, it's perfect for your 40th anniversary, and I'll be there with bells on. And hopefully you out there listening, John's giving you enough information. Go check out the link. And there's more online, newsforthesoul.com on today's show, or learnmindpower.com. Thanks, John. Thanks, Sylvia. We'll see you soon.
Okay, great.
All right. If you missed any of this interview, you can hear it again all free, all the time, newsforthesoul.com. Something out of the archives now for you.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next.
You're listening to News for the Soul Radio, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, since January 1997.
We've seen a human dematerialize more than 1,000 times. It's not a rare phenomenon, and the reason that people can dematerialize is because a human body, when it's not in its sort of solid state, is in a hazy wave state, and it's not solid at all, and so that's why people can dematerialize. So this non-solid being is sitting on a stool, and they're essentially a spirit with a physical body that has all of these geometries and mathematics in them, and as the purple light goes through, like it's really like the Christ consciousness or the Buddhahood or whatever you want to call it. It's difficult to get into terms, but when the light goes through them, it fixes up their geometries and they get better.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
And we're live. Surprise, 10 a.m. Pacific time. We have a surprise for you today. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney. This is News for the Soul. Life. Oh, no voice going away. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Got that covered in full. We're on for several hours today, by the way, so stick around, but we're starting out with something really exciting because he's up to good stuff, and I know Kerry O'Connor and I have been talking about him quite a bit lately, so his ears have probably been burning. Well, it's Stuart Wild. Anything could have been burning. so he should need no introduction whatsoever. Evolutionary, metaphysical, wild guy, author and leader, and always floating around on the outer limits of the known consciousness of humankind. I don't know how else to describe him. He's here, he's now. Stuart Wild, welcome back to News for the Soul.
Hi, am I online with you? Because I was on your caller line before.
Yeah, you're totally on the line with, I can totally hear you.
Cool. do you think you could sort of like talk for a minute while I call you back on a phone card? Because
okay,
I'm in a really
expensive
hotel, and they're going to charge me $5 a minute, you know?
Oh, God. Okay.
So
well,
can you tell them something interesting, and I'll call you back like within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, bye-bye now.
Okay. All right. So, interesting. I will tell you about what's going on here. How about that? First of all, for the next hour, God willing, we'll get Stewie back on here in a second, and we will have our conversation for the next hour with Stuart Wild as to what's going on, because he's suddenly popped up here in Vancouver out of, well, unexpectedly, and he's got some cool things going on, as Kerry O'Connor's been telling us about. She went actually with him in Vegas about 2 weeks ago. This has got to be good. You know it's good. If Vegas works its way into the story with Stuart Wild. So,
We're going to talk about that for the next hour. Then we have open lines. So that's where we're at right now. And then, okay, Stewie's having trouble calling back in. I'm going to go to a commercial and we'll get Stewart on the line. Hang on.
How would you like to learn how to bend metal with your mind for real? Well, you can. News for the Soul is home to the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, an instantly downloadable digital gift that contains 2 hours of audio and visual instructions designed to get your mind out of the way and teach you how to truly affect solid matter just with your thoughts. Find out once and for all how you are affecting your reality with every thought you think. Don't let anything block you from creating the life that you want. Download the newsforthesoul.com Spoon Bending Kit today. Just go to newsforthesoul.com right now and click on the bent spoon. That's newsforthesoul.com.
We're still working on getting Stewart back on here. He's having trouble with his calling card. So stand by, Stewart Wild, on News for the Soul, God willing. Okay, let's see if we've got him back on. Stewart,
I'm in the host queue, and I was going, hello, 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 I didn't get you.
Oh, my gosh, you were hosting your own show.
I'll tell you what was weird. I got a phone card from the 7-Eleven, and when I punched in the code, it said it's an invalid card. So
took
me 5 minutes. Anyway, listen, nice to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for ages and ages and ages, but we did some shows together years ago, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
For going quite a ways back, you know.
Before the flood.
Yeah, I know. So I've been talking to Carrie O'Connor. Of course, she's a regular weekly guest on News for the Soul, and she's been telling me all about...
Nicole, listen, your voice is breaking up, so I'm only getting little bits of stuff. Are you on a mobile or something?
No, I'm just going to switch my headset. Hang on.
Okay.
I love the technical things these days. Boy, oh boy, it's just constant.
Yeah, no, that's loud and clear now. That's an improvement. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
So you were talking about Carrie O'Connor. Yeah, she's a good friend, and she came over to Ireland for a few weeks, and she got to hang out with me and other people, and... yeah, it was really, really good. You know, Chris Krebsik of thehoodedsage.com was there and so forth.
Yeah, well, she was saying that you're up to some very interesting things, so I'm just bursting to get the latest Stewart Wild news.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what. Okay. Here's the story, Morning Glory. I saw this great light come into my hands about maybe 6 months or a year ago, and I could see it with my eyes shut, inner sight, and I could see it with my eyes open, in a normal sight. And then I saw these visions that told me to go and put my hands on people and, you know, offer them a kind of spiritual renewal, a blessing, a healing, you know. So I started trotting around Ireland, and I went to a place, a sacred well called St. Patrick's Well, and then the committee threw me out. They didn't want me there. So I went to other places, and I've been doing healings in Canada and, you know, just various spots. I'm going to go to Italy and do them in Rome at the Vatican. And I posted all on my site, you know, stuartwild.com with a U, S-T-U-A-R-T, so people can follow along if they come. I've done 2,411 so far. So I'm motoring. Yeah.
You are motoring. I know. And I.
Yeah, that's in about 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you know. I haven't started that long ago, you know.
And you were in Vegas.
Yeah, I was in Vegas. I had 705 people. And I did a short healing on all of them, and then I did a much longer healing. So I kind of did 1,410 healings there.
Yeah. So tell me about the healing itself. What is it? What's going on?
Well, what it is, I have to back up and tell you something else. Like 2.5 years ago, I saw this light. I was in Vancouver, actually, on the water, an apartment on the water, facing Granville Island. And I saw this light appear in the room, and it was strobing all around the room. It looked like an oval football. And it was going ping, 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 ping. And it was there for like 5 hours. And I saw the Christ consciousness and the solar logos and hosts of angels, many things, you know. And at the end of that series of visions, and there were 4 other people in the room, they saw it as well. I got stigmata through my hands and my feet, and it's the sensation of nails or skewers going through your skin. It's extraordinarily painful, and it's been raging for like 2.5 years. It's eased off a little bit now, but it's still going. And it was really, really strange. You know, I really didn't know what was happening, but I was very calm and composed, and I saw visions and stuff that helped me. And it was after the sort of pain of this stigmata thing for 2.5 years that the light came into my hands. So it wasn't sort of like imagined or Hold on a second. I don't know how to operate this bloody system. Hold on a second. Oh, God. If I cut you off, I don't dare cut you off. Can you hear that phone ringing?
I can hear, but you know what? That's good.
Just let it ring. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't got a clue how to operate these things.
We don't want to lose you now. It's just
no, I'm totally technologically challenged. I mean, I can't work a toaster, you know. Anyway, it was after the stigmata came and went. I mean, it went day and night for 24/7. And sometimes it was so excruciating, I'd have to lie on my bed and sort of meditate my way through it for an hour. Anyway, then after all of that, the light came. And essentially, it's a purple light, and it goes inside people, and it changes their fractal codes. It changes their geometries and the mathematics of their body, because humans are essentially lots and lots of little boxes, like pixels on a photograph. And those boxes contain codes, like geometries and mathematics and tubes, you know? And so this light goes through the person, and where there's black, let's say, because they have some dysfunction in their body, it changes the code from black to purple, and they get better. And I've done healings on leukemia and brain tumors and asthma and autism, gout. I published on my site a few days ago, and 25 other diseases. But when I'm working on them, I don't know necessarily what's wrong with them. They may be troubled, psychiatrically troubled. I got one guy out of an insane asylum, and he called me from the asylum, and I told him what to tell the doctors to call him into letting him out, and he did that, and they let him go. And then he came to Ireland, and he stayed with me, and I did a healing on him. I mean, he was absolutely demonically possessed. He was completely round the bend, and he was cured, and he went off to Switzerland and got a lovely job at $120,000 a year.
Well, you have been busy.
Yeah.
So, why is this happening, first of all?
Well, my old teacher said 35, 40 years ago that when this great darkness falls upon the world, because he knew all about the fascists and all this stuff that's going on now with, you know, the arrest without trial and wars and all that stuff. He said when all that darkness comes around, which it has to come around because the human shadow has to come out and people have to see how ugly it is. He said that when the shadow and this darkness falls upon the earth, that the eternal Tao and the feminine spirit would come back to earth. And as to compensate for the darkness. And so I think that why now is because the world is going ever more degraded and ever more, you know, broken down. And it's just being ruled by these sort of fascists that are not even American. I mean, they come from another place. Are you there, Nicole?
I'm here. Are you
have
there?
To say something now, like, well, that's jolly boring shit, or something like that. I don't know what. Say whatever you want to say.
Well, you know, hasn't the darkness always been here? We're just seeing it now? I mean, do you mean the fall?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was here. It was certainly here during the war and stuff like that with Hitler. And
before, in the Dark Ages, I would think it was here.
Yeah. But for some reason, we're approaching the end time, and so this is a sort of final phase, a recapitulation of evil, and then a recapitulation of the Christ consciousness, the solar logos, and goodness. And the solar logos is essentially a celestial light, and I was watching it like a couple of years ago, and I saw it coming into land, you know, and when it landed, I translated it into this massive electrical transformer that was the size of like a small house. But essentially that light is here now, and the Christ consciousness is in there, and the Buddhahood, and the light of the, you know, the gods and the angels and the feminine spirit and Gaia, it's all there inside this solar logos. And so it landed, and now we get the benefit from it.
All right. So did this light or this vision, did it just come to you?
No, other people have seen it, like many, many, many have seen it. And sometimes they write emails and explain what they've seen and so forth. And Chris Krepsik, the hoodedsage.com, he writes about it. And it's a common thing. I mean, there's many, many, many visionaries and psychics and teachers that can see that light now. You know, it's common to all of us. It's not an exclusive anything, you know?
So what do you, are other people doing healings with it?
That I don't know about. I've got no idea, because there was a doctor that came to me, and I held his hands for 20 minutes, and then he went off and did healings, and he cured a lady of multiple sclerosis by just putting his hands upon her. And she went off to the hospital, and she had a scan, and the lesions in her brain weren't there anymore. So I have transferred it to two people by just holding their hands, and the doctor was the most spectacular transfer. But yeah, there's no exclusive anything, you know. I mean, it's like, it's the Christ consciousness. It's everywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Carrie came on, and she said that she was blown away because you cured something in her head or something the first time that she got together with you. So she's been going on about it ever since.
Well, and she had something in her hand that was becoming infected, and she would have had to go to the hospital for antibiotic injections. And after the healing, it wasn't there anymore. And so she was happy, Carrie was, yeah.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, it's miracles, but it's not really miracles, because it's mathematics, it's geometry. So the purple geometries and the purple mathematics go through the person's body in the space of a few minutes, and it just changes the geometry of the septic finger, or it changes the geometry of the leukemia or the cancer or whatever else is, you know? So all of those things have a geometry. They have a fractal code, like the Mandelbrot set. It's all a series of geometries and fractals. We're not solid beings. You know, I've seen a human dematerialize completely, myself and others. We've seen a human dematerialize more than 1,000 times. It's not a rare phenomena. And the reason that people can dematerialize is because a human body, when it's not in its sort of solid state, is in a wavy, hazy wave state, and it's not solid. It's not solid at all. And so that's why people can dematerialize. So this non-solid being is sitting on a stool, and they're essentially a spirit with a physical body that has all of these geometries and mathematics in them. And as the purple light goes through them, like, it's really like the Christ consciousness or the Buddhahood or whatever you want to call it. It's difficult to get into terms, but when the light goes through them, it fixes up their geometries and they get better.
So I know you were having events where you were trying to train people to see that dematerialization for a while. Were people able to see it?
Yeah. That's why there's 1,000, you know, that's why we've seen it for 1,000 times, because 200 of us have seen it 5 times each, let's say, you know.
How do we see it without being able to train with you personally? How do I see someone dematerialize?
Well, I can't guarantee that somebody that hasn't trained with me can see it, because I don't know where they're at and what they believe and, you know, how balanced they are and so forth. But this, the inner sight comes from softness. It comes from kindness and calm. And it comes from the trance state. So you have got to be able to meditate and hold the sort of theta trance state for cycles a second. And then those inner worlds open up. But they only open up as much as you open up. And they only open up as much as you can purify your life, you know. So the inner sight is usually denied to people that are sort of unprocessed and that haven't worked upon themselves and their shadow, and they haven't developed that kind of generosity and charity and kindness in their soul. You know, you have to have a good soul to see.
So you're getting all of these, you've got this light coming to you, you're being guided to travel around. Have you had many visions as to, you know, where things are at and where they're going in this transitional time?
Well, I've seen lots and lots of sort of visions of the destruction of Jerusalem and so forth. And I've seen visions of the collapse of the stock exchange and the sort of American political system and so forth. So we're living in a precarious time, because things could go belly up at any time. I mean, right now the stock exchange is sort of being pumped by the Federal Reserve, and they're sort of pumping it up no matter what the news is. But once the election's over, it could easily come down. And then again, if there was a massive earthquake tomorrow somewhere like California, or if a meteor hit New York, you could see the stock exchange collapse overnight. So we're in an age where the shadow is coming out, the goodness is building to compensate for the shadow, and then the systems of 3D, like Wall Street and so on, that's so like corrupt and manipulated, those systems eventually fall apart, because everything has to return to a sort of order, a beauty. You know, it's like Gaia, the spirit of the earth, is here to restore the natural balance of things.
So you're still seeing that sort of process going on. What on the other end of the scale, with this light coming in and other stuff on that end of the scale, what are you seeing for the future?
Well, you don't get to see, like, you know, 10 and 20 and 30 years ahead, but I don't believe that the world will end in 2012, you know? The Mayan culture was extraordinarily rinky-dink. I mean, I don't know if people know that, but it sort of covered just maybe 1,000 miles of Central America. And they were very cruel. They were black magicians, and they had these blood sacrifices and tens of thousands of slaves, and they would chop people's heads off at the top of the pyramids and roll them down the hill. And what happened to the Mayans was that in the end, the slaves rose up and they slaughtered the kings and the priests and the aristocracy, and they stole the gold and returned back to their families in the forest from where they were originally captured. So the Mayans couldn't really foretell their own demise, and they couldn't foretell that, like, karma would find them and they'd all be rubbed out. And the fact that their calendar ends in December 2012 is, like, completely irrelevant. So I've seen visions of 2016, so we're definitely going to get past 2012.
Well, we're on the same page there, that's for sure. I love that. Rinky-dink. There you go.
Yeah.
But what is your most immediate communication? I mean, you're being guided to go to all these places. You're going to the Vatican. When's that happening? And how do you think that's going to go?
I'm doing healings in Italy, in Turin, on October the 14th, and I'm in Volterra on October the 16th. And I'm just waiting to confirm with a contact of mine in Rome. So I would say October the 18th I'll be in Rome, right there in front of the Vatican where the obelisk is.
And
I've seen loads of visions of the collapse of the Catholic Church and its rebirth, its reconstitution. Once all the pedophiles and the black magicians are tossed out, it'll become new. There'll be a new pope, and it'll come clean in the end, you know, because it is a great inspiration for many religious people, albeit the dogma and all of that is very simplistic, but it's what they believe and it helps them. But we need to clean the gaff up, you know. We need sort of Schwarzenegger to go around and clean house.
Oh, I'd pay money to see that.
Yeah.
So what's happening here in Vancouver then? It was on the 20th, right?
Yeah, I've got some healings on the 20th. I only send it out to the Stuart Wild A-list people because I've got so many readers in Vancouver and so many people know me here that I was scared of getting swamped. And I could do about 80 healings in 2 hours. And I didn't want 500 people coming, so I didn't post it to my site. Now, it's faintly possible, and I have pre-booked the rooms that I've had to rent for Saturday afternoon. And if I go ahead with Saturday, I will post it on my stuartwild.com site Thursday night. But the Thursday healings are just for the people that I'm emailed on the A-list, because I was scared, man. I was scared 500 people were going to show up, you know?
Totally could happen, yes.
Which could easily happen. And I just don't want to disappoint people, and I don't want them getting angry, and I don't want them jostling and fighting each other. And, you know, there's only a limit to how many I can do. When I do the healings, I usually do 2 hours, because when I put my hands on people, I have to concentrate ferociously. If I have any slight, you know, interruption in my mind, I have to start again. So if I'm doing a healing and I suddenly think, oh my God, did I leave the iron on? I have to start again. So then to concentrate, you know, on 80 people for 2 hours is quite a sort of effort. And I find that at the end of the 2 hours, I'm really fried and I can't really go on much past that. I can sometimes take a half hour break and then do one more hour, but I'm limited to how many I can do at any one time.
This is the first time you've been guided to do healings, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to do some in the past, but they were all like more people with psychological problems or people that were demonically possessed. I've done like about 40 or 50 exorcisms. And essentially, I put my hand on the person and I scare the ghouls and the devils out of them. And that's how I do my exorcisms. It's dead easy, really. It's like baseball backcountry, you know? So, yeah, this is the first time that I've been sort of shown, you know, the healing thing. But again, it came from the stigmata. And when I tell people, hey, I've got stigmata, they look at me really blank and start twiddling with their dress, you know, looking up to the sky. They don't really know what I'm talking about. But it's the sensation of nails going through your hands and your feet.
Why do you think it would come through for you in that kind of way? I mean,
oh, look, I've asked that why me question, and it's kind of irrelevant, really, because, you know, it's like, and, you know, why did it go to Padre Pio? I don't know. I mean, perhaps I don't know. There was reasons for it. There must be some sort of higher reason, but mainly it's because I can handle the pain, and I'm willing to go out and do the work afterwards. So I would say that those were the two main reasons.
Huh.
Because somebody else, if they got it, they'd panic, you know, and they'd be in hospital, and doctors would say, we don't know what's wrong with you, and they would go into sort of a psychological, psychiatric mess with that kind of pain going day and night. So I think because I can handle the pain and because of meditation and trance and so forth, that's why I got it, you know. But I don't have any other reasons. I mean, I wasn't shown any particular reason.
That's actually very true, isn't it? I mean, we would have a quote-unquote normal reaction if we weren't, you know, really prepared. And your health is good?
Yeah, yeah, I'm very strong. I've got a lot of stamina, you know, so I'm okay.
Are you able to heal yourself when things come up, or if they
always up? Yeah, always, every time. Yeah, if I have, let's say, I don't know, a pain in the gut or something, I just mentally put my hand inside my body and I say a couple of little sort of prayers, because when I do the healings, Nicole, I watch for these purple hands to come up, you know, like a vision of a purple hand, you know, and I watch for them to come up 9 times. So when I'm touching somebody on the shoulders, I watch for those visions to come up, the purple hands. They come up. Once they've come up 9 times, the healing's over. So that can be like in 15 seconds, they can come up 9 times. But then I go on and I do some protection prayers and stuff as well, you know, beyond the actual healing. But yeah, I can sort of do the healings in 15 seconds. And then when I have a problem, like I had a sort of indigestion pain across the top of my chest a few days ago, I just put my hand inside my own body and I pull it out and that's it.
So how much is it driven behind your own intentions and attention, and how much is coming through you from somewhere else?
Well, I don't know. I can't sort of be particularly accurate on that. I don't know. But I don't charge for the healings that I do, and I do not accept donations. So there's no sort of ulterior motive on the financial front. So I've done 2,411 healings free of charge. I don't charge people. Now, when people come to a gig and there's a big hotel and the promoters are paying $10,000 a day, they have to charge people to provide the space. Well,
yes,
that's a different thing. But the street healings and all the other healings I've done, I've never charged anybody ever. And I never will. I'm just not allowed to charge, and I don't want to charge, because I don't want a person sitting on the stool thinking, how much money have I got to give this git? And will a tenner do, or should I give them $50? You know, I don't want them thinking like that. I want them to concentrate on their salvation, their redemption. I call it the spiritual healing, the second chance. And it's like, hey, you know, do you want to be absolved, and do you want absolution for your illnesses and your, you know, disquiet and your pain, because here it is and it isn't going to cost you anything. So what's my intention? Well, my intention actually is to flee to the pub and not come back. So because it's a lot of hard work. It's expensive flying around and driving around to the various locations. And but there's a sort of love in it. There's a kindness, and you sort of want to try to sort of be kind to people because I have a compassion for their disquiet, their energy and their disease. So I'm kind of honored to help them, but there's no real ulterior motive in it for me, other than the energy heals me when I'm working with it. So there's a defined benefit there.
So were you guided and told it had to be free?
Well, there wasn't as if like some, you know, angel with flappy wings came down and said, make it free. It's just instinctively I felt like, hey, I didn't pay for these hands. I didn't pay for this light. I just got this light from the solar locus. It was given to me after a certain couple of processes I had to go through. And it's not fair that I charge people for it, because I never paid for it in the first place, you know? And, you know, with the economy being as it is, I mean, how much can you charge a person? Okay, let's say they've got leukemia, right? I met a bloke in a pub that had leukemia, and I did a healing on him, and he was cured. And he went to the hospital, and they said his leukemia was non-detectable. They couldn't find it. Okay, when he's sitting there on a stool, he doesn't know who the hell I am. How much is he going to donate? Like $5, $10? What's, you know, leukemia worth, you know? And then later on, perhaps after he was healed from leukemia, he might want to donate, I don't know, $100 or $10,000. But I just don't want people getting into all that mess. You know, here's the light. It's free of charge. I got it for free of charge, and you can have it for nothing.
So how long do you think you're going to be traveling around doing these healings?
I don't know. It could be 5 or 10 years, you know.
Wow. Because I know you particularly are not a big fan of air travel.
Well, only because, you know, I've been like 62 times around the world, the equivalent thereof, and I've been to 61 countries. And, you know, when you have to go through the airports and the security and all that stuff and the pat-downs and stuff, one guy put his hand down with trousers, you know, at the airport, one of those TSA guys. And I said to him, I said, look, sir, any more of that, I'm going to have to charge your entertainment tax. Now, will you knock it off? You got your hand down my bloody trousers. You're not allowed to touch me, will you? Now, F off and leave me alone. You know? So that stuff's, you know, very disturbing. And if I was a wealthy man, which I'm not, I'd have my own little plane and I would zoom around. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of air travel. I think it's very degrading. But, hey, how are you going to get to these various places, you know? I can heal radiation in people, Nicole. So I was thinking of going to Japan.
I was just going to say, is that on your travel plans then, Japan?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I mean, I don't know anything about Japan, and I don't even know if I have any... I know I've got Japanese readers, but I'm not really linked into people in Japan. But when people come to the healings, I test them with a Geiger counter, and we just run it across the front of their body. And we get these readings off of them for their, you know, the amount of radiation they're giving off. And on our Geiger counter system, about 30 to 40 clicks is normal, and past 60 is abnormal. So this lady came along, and she was German, and she had a reading of about 66. And I did a healing on her, and then I retested her, and she was down to 45. And then a young boy came to see me in Cranbrook, B.C., and he had a reading over 60, and again, he went down to like 38, 40, something like that after the healing. So somehow this purple light and the fractal codes goes through the body and removes some of the radiation and restores the person back to normal. So yeah, I might go to Japan. I don't know. It's difficult. I don't really know any people there, you know?
Well, I'm sure someone's listening. We have listeners there in Japan. And
yeah.
Who knows? Is there a guidance coming through with this purple light? I know there's no flappy wing angel, but I just keep getting pulled back there.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, there's a guidance in the sense that I see these visions, and a lot of them are quite technical, and quite a lot of them are technological. You know, they're complex mathematics to try to understand. It's not like I have to necessarily clunk the numbers, but I've got to understand what the pictures mean. And a mathematical formula or a geometric pattern is a code, so you have to understand what it's actually saying. And so, yes, there is a guidance trickling through. But there isn't a sort of spirit guide or Jesus or, you know, Kud Humi or Bongo Dongo, the famous Tibetan. They're nothing. No, it's just information. So I sit there, and sometimes I pray, of course, you know, and ask questions. But essentially, I'm praying to the four walls. So I'm going, hello, walls. Now, how do you feel about healings in Zambia next week, you know, whatever? And then the information comes flying in. So essentially, it's information that it may come from some, I don't know, highfalutin spiritual place, but it doesn't seem like that to me. It just seems like visions that I see that emanate from my higher self.
Mm-hmm. Which is
so
probably
I'm sorry, Nicole?
Which is probably exactly the same thing, just semantics and different ways of seeing it, right?
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's not like, I mean, I've seen hundreds of visions of Jesus. I mean, I saw one 3 days ago. And sometimes he's doing strange things. Like I posted on my site that I saw a vision of Jesus with a pig. And a pig is a symbol of the end time. Because when we see an apparition in the sky of an upside-down pig, that's the end. So with him having the pig under his arm was a way of saying that he's a custodian of the end. But it says in Revelations that he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. But it was a reassuring vision to think, well, it's all going to be all right.
Wow.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yeah, did I answer your question or did I just ramble around it? I can't quite figure it out.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Are you still writing?
Yes, I am, yeah. At the moment, I'm working on an upgrade of a book I wrote in the mid-90s called God's Gladiators.
Ah.
And it wasn't published by my publishers, Hay House or Random House or any of the other publishers that I've had contracts with because the book was quite controversial. But so it was published by a very small American publishing company. A man called Mark Ellis published it. And now I'm going to do a sort of an upgraded version. and published that. So I'm going to renew that book, because it was actually, other than Plum Red, which is my latest book, it was the best book I ever wrote, God's Gladiators.
It was intriguing indeed. I remember speaking to you. That's the one you wrote in a remarkably short time, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw this being that appeared at the end of my sofa in Australia, and she had this digital fractal golden eye with sort of golden circuitry in her eyes, and she showed me the destruction of Jerusalem and several other visions. And then I got this feeling that she wanted me to write a book, and so I started the book at 11 o'clock on Sunday night, and I wrote it and finished it at 5 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, less than 4 days. And that was it. I wrote for 23 hours a day, and then I would have a steam bath and a cup of coffee and an egg sandwich, and I'd meditate for 20 minutes, and then I'd write for 23 hours again. So I wrote the book in 4 days, more or less nonstop, with 4 hours rest.
Steam bath and an egg sandwich.
That's it. Steam bath, wow. Egg sandwich, and a cup of coffee. Yeah.
That is amazing. Wow. Okay, so when that revised version going to be ready for us?
Well, it'll be done in a week or two, and then it has to go to the printer. I mean, before Christmas we should have it, you know? And then I'm thinking of about one more book. I mean, I've just bought out a book called Plum Red, which people say is very beautiful. I mean, it's not for me to say it's beautiful, but people say it's very beautiful. And it's sort of spiritual teachings presented as stories from the time of like 250 to 500 BC, and it's stories of the Taoist sages, and one particular order of Taoist sages that were known as the sages of the Plum Red Robes. And so that's why the book's called Plum Red. But it's not in the shops at the moment, because we're having difficulty getting distribution and so forth. But if people click it, they'll find it. We have another site called the sacredtearsofgaia.com, and they can buy it mail order from there.
Excellent. I just want to remind people, because I'm getting 8 million emails here, it's all on linked up on our homepage, newsforthesoul.com. You've been here a while, off and on, over the years. Many times we've talked, intriguing
many
conversations,
times.
Many, many times. And you know, I got to say, I think you're one of my favorite human beings.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
How long are you in Vancouver for?
Oh, I've been here for 3 weeks, on and off, and I've been around to Cologne. I did a bunch of healings in Cologne and Cranbrook and so forth. So I'll probably be here like a week, 10 days more, and then I have to flee because I've got to go work. Got to go to work.
I would so love to be able to get together with you while you're in town.
Call Ryan for the phone number, because I don't want to get you over
there. I will
do
that.
Okay.
No, of course. Yeah. Yes, indeed. You have a lot of calls. But that would be great if we can connect, and I'd love to experience.
Yeah, we can. If we can't do it this time, I'll be coming back. So we'll do it next time. I'm sure within a month or two I'll be back here, because there's so much stuff going on here at this time, you know? And
yeah.
I'd like to do healings in Victoria Island. Is that what it's called? No, what's it called? Vancouver Island. Isn't it? Yeah.
Vancouver Island, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
And,
do you get drawn where the healings are needed most?
I think there is some inner system that draws me to places, but I'm not aware of it, you know?
Very interesting. Well,
I mean, I might get an impulse. For example, I had this impulse to do some healings in London, in Battersea Park, where the Golden Buddha is. And I typed it out, and suddenly it disappeared from the software. It wasn't there. So I had a little bit of a sort of irritation and a slight, and it threw me dolls out the pram and put the bloody thing back in again. And it blipped out a second time. And then I thought, right, one more time, this is it, it cannot possibly blip out. And the third time I put London and the details, it blipped out a third time. So I decided I'm not supposed to do London, not at the moment anyway. So for the software to suddenly just accidentally blip itself out. And it was an article on Irish healings and Italian healings and so forth. It wasn't like the whole article disappeared, just those couple of sentences that referred to London, and they disappeared three times. So, yeah, maybe there is a guiding system that goes, delete, delete. I don't know, but I don't want it to make it sound like, I don't want to make it sound, Nicole, like there's any specialness involved. You know, the light is for everybody. And yes, I've garnered this light in my hands because of the stigmata. But, and so what? You know, who cares, you know? It's only a matter of whether the lady sitting on the stool is going to be cured of her pains, you know, or the gentleman. That's all that matters. It's all about the humans and their pain. It's nothing to do with anything else, you know?
Well, I would just so love to experience this light and be able to tell everyone, you know, what's going on from a different perspective. And let's get together when we can, Stuart.
Yeah, well, look, if you want to come to the healings tomorrow, call Ryan and he'll give you the address. He's going to have to ask me for it, but if I get an email from him asking me for the address, then come along. It's 12:30 to 3:30.
Okay, All right.
Tomorrow.
Sounds like a date.
Yeah, near where we met before, you know, okay?
Yes, I got it.
All
okay,
right,
perfect. I feel very surreptitious.
Well,
it is a pleasure as always, and keep us in the loop.
Yeah, I don't want to deny people, but I'm so terrified, you know, like one day 5,000 people are going to rock up, you know? And I'm
That's
just terrified of 500 people rocking up because I can only do 80 in 2 hours. Now, I don't know, if I see some visions that allow me to sort of zip through 500 people pinging them, then I could up my quota. But at the moment, I'm limited to this sort of hands-on. Well, I do people two at a time, and they take sort of a couple of minutes each because, you know, I use one hand with one person and one hand on the other person's shoulder. And doing that, I could do 40 an hour, 80 in 2 hours, and that's it, you know.
That's it. Cool.
That's
well,
it,
I will try to be there, and I so appreciate you being here today, Stuart. It's always a great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
StuartWild.com will keep you posted on and keep us in the loop as things evolve.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I mean, I write my blog every day, and there's 2 or 3 articles every day, and some of them are teaching articles, and some are sort of things on lucid dreams, and today I posted a funny one about the Mormons and their underpants. Well, you know the Mormons believe they have magical underpants, and I did a Mormon magical underpants story.
I literally never know what you're going to say next. I love that.
Well, the thing is I like to write humor into my stuff because some people take spirituality and the journey and metaphysics and religion, they take it really seriously, and there's nothing serious, you know? God's
mm-hmm.
a comedian, you know, she's very funny.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, you'd have to have a sense of humor to be God, wouldn't you? So, yeah, no, she's a funny person. And so I just want it all to be light and breezy and normal. You know, spirituality is the act of becoming ever more normal. That's what it is. It's becoming natural and returning to Gaia and your nature self and the normality of things rather than, you know, wandering around with a diaper on your head clanking a bell. Not to say that that's wrong. But it's all a bit over the top, do you see?
It is.
It's a thing that you have to evolve through eventually. One day you look at the diaper and you think, this is absolutely silly. Why is this on my head and why am I clanking a bell? And you go to the pub instead.
There you go. Stuart Wild. In
God
a nutshell.
Bless.
Thanks, Stuart.
Yeah,
take
bye-bye
care. We'll see you soon. All right, stick around. We're just getting started today. That was, by the way, if you missed the intro, Stuart Wild, StuartWild.com, the one and only. And more on that to come.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Time to go live again. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney, News for the Soul Radio, life-changing talk radio. From the uplifting to the unexplained, and over the many years that we've been around, we have talked to one very special scientist and author, Dr. Bruce Lipton, is with me here for the next hour, here today on News for the Soul.
Thank you so very much. I'm so happy to be back on the show, and I'm so happy to be able to talk to the wonderful audience, because there are my cultural creatives, the ones that are helping create a new civilization, and I so appreciate them.
You said something that obviously needs to be highlighted and underscored. So we have to get out of this survival victim programming now to avoid a collapse of humanity in about 20 years. Is that what I heard you say?
Absolutely. Half the wildlife that was on this planet in 1970 doesn't exist anymore. We lost half the animals on this planet since 1970.
Half?
Half. It's actually 52%. How about this? No saltwater fish in the ocean in 2048. Listen, tell your grandchildren there used to be fish in the ocean. Yeah, all of this. Why? It turns out human behavior. We're undermining ecosystems. We're pillaging the planet. We're taking all the resources and polluting and destroying. And we think like, oh, we have no effect on it. It's like, no, we are causing, and this is a fact of science. So I'm going to say this is a fact of science. And that is this. We are into what is called the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. 5 times in the history of this planet, life was thriving. And then some catastrophic thing happened, and 50 to 80 or 80% of all the wildlife on the planet disappeared, just, you know, gone. And they attribute things like maybe asteroids hitting or comets hitting the Earth and upsetting the environment, or massive geological activity, volcanoes, earthquakes, and stuff like that. And they say when they're looking at the loss of species today, it is greater than, and faster than, the loss of species in the previous mass extinction. And we're at a level now where it's now mass extinction approaching, because the organisms are getting lost. As I said, 52% of the animals are gone. And so all of a sudden it really says is that we are in a process called the sixth mass extinction of life. But, and yet science, as I said, has knows what the cause is. It's human behavior. You cannot continue the way you have been doing things, because it won't work that way anymore. You hit a wall. You must change. And so when you look at the world and you see all those bad headlines and everybody going, oh my God, it's so scary. And I go, no, you don't get it. This is good news. It's good news for the reason is this. The system has to break down to build a new system. We can't fix this old one, because that's the one that caused the problems. The more you try and fix it, the more you keep the problems going. So while people are looking in fear, I really want to say, wait a minute. You're focusing your efforts and energy on the wrong side. You should be focusing your efforts and energy on the side of, where's the change? Where do we go from here? When you look at it, if you look at it in fear, as I'm saying, this is, remember, the picture in your mind makes your health. Part of the illnesses of this planet is to be in fear of these changes, because the picture of fear means threat, and the threat changes the chemistry of your body into protection, and that will actually shut down your growth and your immune system. And in fact, that's one of the biggest causes of problems on today's world, the fear. So if you look at the crises as fear, you're not helping yourself or the planet. If you think about it, I look at the crises as good. There are other ways to solve this thing. There's another way to do life better than this thing. When you look at the world and you see all the upheaval, it's, yeah, because we're in a transition state from an old type of civilization, the one we were in, scientific materialism based on matter, and moving into a more holistic civilization where energy, which includes spirit, is brought back into the equation. So we're moving into a new civilization right now. So my message is, okay, we can change our way, look at the world, start to recognize that, what do you want from life versus what the program said you would be? And this is a time of great flux and change, an opportunity to rewrite the programs, create the new world, and move out of this collapsing one into a civilization that we can thrive into. That's what's in front of us. We have been taught to believe we are victims, victims of our heredity. And that when you're a victim, you give up responsibility, because you have no control anyway. And also that you give up your savings to anybody who says they're going to help you with your problem.
Which is huge, of course, why you're you and what you're doing. The perceptions, are they as easy to change as you're suggesting?
Yes, when you have knowledge of how to change them. If you don't have an understanding, then it's one of the more difficult processes in our lives. So it turns out 95% of the day we're thinking. So 95% of the day we're playing subconscious programs. Yes, they came from other people, so they're not our beliefs and wishes and desires. And we're manifesting 95% of the day a life that we've been programmed. This is why we're so moving toward an evolutionary upheaval, and it's an evolution upheaval, not in biology, not in genetics, but in consciousness. It's a necessity for us in this stage of our evolution. We're facing some very serious civilization problems right now, and we have to empower ourselves. And as we talked about, there's two levels of empowerment right now. Number one, epigenetics is, yeah, you're in control of this, and if you understand it, you can manifest it. And B, that collectively our behavior as a culture is undermining civilization, that we're going extinct, and it's not 1,000 years from now. You know, they're talking about like civilization collapsing within 20 years. This is reality, and the reason why is our behavior, human behavior, is undermining the web of life and humanity itself. And so we're in need of what? A rapid makeover, a rapid redo, a rapid change this program, and get out of the belief that life is a struggle for survival, and get out of this belief that you're a victim of your biology, and re-empower yourselves. And then when we do that, it'll change the world. We can get out of the program. We can create new programs, and using the subliminal tapes, using the repetition habit thing, or using energy psychology. These are all ways that you can rewrite any of the programs in your life that you got in the first 7 years. Our lives are, by definition, 95% coming from the subconscious. So by definition, your life is essentially a printout of your subconscious programs. And all of a sudden it says, oh my goodness, then we are masters of our biology. We're not victims of anything. The only thing we're victims of is the belief that we're victims, and that's wrong. So this is an exciting time, a revolution on the planet, especially when you consider the healthcare crisis, the money, the amount of money that we're spending to bring people to health through a model that says, oh, it's just a broken genes and broken body, give them some chemistry and they'll come back. And then find out it had nothing to do with that, except for 1%. But it had to do with our lifestyle, our beliefs, our spirituality, our attitudes about life, love, diet, and exercise. There you go.
Holy smokes, the time has just zipped by us. That's a perfect pause moment, though, isn't it? heaven on earth, that's a lot better than destruction of total humanity.
it's a good destination, and joy will be there, and happiness, and love, and community sharing. I see it, because I've been around the world, and I've seen people moving in that direction, and been in communities where things like that are going on. It's like, oh my God, sometimes we think this is never going to happen. And what we don't realize, Nicole, is that there are so many groups out there, so many shows such as your own, providing this new information, and we don't see the other ones, and therefore we look and say, yeah, I guess we're the only ones here, and it turns out, no, we have large numbers of us all over the planet, but they're not connected yet. But in one, you know, it could be overnight, just like a Berlin Wall. Boom, they all decide to connect, and the world will change the next day, just like what happened in the Berlin Wall coming down.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
News for the soul, life-changing talk radio, from the uplifting to the unexplained. Since 1997.
And we love News for the
South! I'm feeling enormous energy around this show. Just enormous, enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing, amazing connections. It's just like... the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing. Like, this is what's getting, it's some angel telling somebody, okay, listen, get on this show, listen to this program, even not my program, whatever program you've got on. It's really amazing.
It's hard to believe it's 17 years since there in Vancouver, and you were sitting there in class, and you were using remote viewing, and I think I said to you that you were going to be a radio talk show host or something along those lines. It wasn't really a prediction. It was just a kind of a sense of who you were and what you were doing and the direction you were going, and wow, voila, and there you were.
And still going.
But it's amazing. Look at what you've done with it. I just wanted to say I'm very proud of you for what you've accomplished, for just the format, to the assemblage of wonderful people, great minds, and people who are working to serve humanity and do the things that they do. I've been looking through your list of callers and interviewees, and you just do a tremendous job. I'm so proud of you. I really am. And I'm proud of all the people that support you and follow you and do what they do, and just keep doing that for this wonderful woman. It's so important, because there are not a lot of really high quality message portals that are out there where messengers get to come in and say what they want to say in this format. So it's because of your support of her that she's able to continue doing that. So please step that up and continue doing it. And I just want to do it more. I mean, I feel good being here and being with you. I always do when I'm talking with you. So I think we just need to keep doing this more.
And we love News for the Soul!
Hello, everybody. This is Damian Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Enfoldment. This is News for the Soul.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news. But we can just find the good news. NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. Yeah, man. Just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me? We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. Wah! We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there. We not go put none of the negative in there. NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time, come hear the good news, share the good news. And we all feeling good for the good news.
News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
We as spiritual beings, warriors of the light, those involved in raising and opening consciousness, expanding consciousness in ourselves and others, this is a perfect time to cultivate our own demonstration of what we already know, what we've already been privy to, what realizations that are already within our heart and soul. So I feel it's the perfect timing, while there's this instability, for us to inject a spiritual stability from within ourselves to the world, and starting with our families and friends and colleagues around us. And that comes from injecting the world with more humor, more lightness, more care, more love, more truth, all the universal values that, you know, that we all stand for, you know. Well, he called this time the time of the great quickening, the quickening of consciousness. And as consciousness quickens into the light, into greater awakening, so do the forces of endarkment, all the old models, the old methods, the entrenched politics, the entrenched agendas, however they might be, those models no longer hold validity or are Gaia-centric. They were based on just human-centric or me-centric values. And now we have to. I mean, the actuality is we are Gaia-centric. We are aspects of the whole. We are symbiotic with all of nature and reality. And whether we think so or not, we're not here to dominate the world. We're here to be in harmonious, synchronous, symbiotic, loving relationship, conscientious relationship with the whole. But the path of the warrior sage is what Stuart Wilde and my teachers taught me, and it's a path where we recognize we are the divine being embodied already. We do not need to be in fear of these things. Recognizing that I am equal to this. I am not a victim to these energies. I am not below them. They cannot manipulate me in dark and nefarious ways. They can't attack my aura. They can't infuse my space. These are all imprints, even in the human potential, spiritual worlds, that continuously feed the fear that the invisible world can harm us.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back. We're live. It's 4 p.m. Pacific time, April 4th, 2019. Time for the next installment of my series, WTF, not standing for what you think it stands for. It stands for Where to Focus. The reason being, the inspiration, of course, for this series is the fact that we have been saying WTF for a couple of years in particular, that the things going on our planet and on the astrological new year of this year, we launched this series as a counterattack to get back on track and focus where we need to focus to create where we want to go. So that's the short story. My next guest in the series today is Satyan Raja. We haven't talked to him for a while. I first met him on the battlefields of Enlightened Warrior Training Camp nearly two decades ago. And what ensued was an amazing enlightened journey, explorations of many topics on the air over many years, and also attending many of his amazing events. Life-changing moments, including a Kundalini awakening that I still am not quite over. That wasn't on the brochure, and that was definitely life-changing. But let's talk about where we're at today. The infamous warrior sage himself, Satyan Raja, welcome back to News for the Soul.
Nicole, always a pleasure, my good friend. And I'm always pleased to see and hear all the ways that you serve the world, and it's just a pleasure to be with you again.
It's my honor. It's been too long since we've talked in this way. I did see you at your birthday party where I surprised you with a belly dance. That was hilarious.
That was wonderful.
I loved it. But, you know, we haven't compared notes on where we're at energetically on this planet. So we started, as I said, this series in particular over the last events on the planet of the last 2 years, seeing the incredible divisiveness or alleged divisiveness and political destabilization around the world. What's your take on where we're at?
Well, I think everything is, as it should be, on track. So in other words, you know, the perturbation, the shaking of the foundations of people's cores, instability in politics, instability in the world, instability with the environment, instability on so many levels is happening, and we as spiritual beings, warriors of the light, those involved in raising and opening consciousness, expanding consciousness in ourselves and others, this is a perfect time to cultivate our own demonstration of what we already know, what we have already been privy to, what realizations that are already within our heart and soul that could be expressed more. brought out more, expressed with more boldness and willingness and capacity. So I feel it's the perfect timing while there's this instability for us to inject a spiritual stability from within ourselves to the world, and starting with our families and friends and colleagues around us. And that comes from injecting the world with more humor, more lightness, more care, more love, more truth, all the universal values that, you know, that we all stand for, you know.
So everything's perfectly on track. You know, it's interesting, you and I share a very special teacher from our path, Stuart Wilde, and he talked about this time extensively.
Yes, yeah.
What did he share with you?
Well, he called this time the time of the great quickening, the quickening of consciousness. And as consciousness quickens into the light, into greater awakening, so do the forces of endarkment, all the old models, the old methods, the entrenched politics, the entrenched agendas, however they might be, those models no longer hold validity or are Gaia-centric. They were based on just human-centric or me-centric values. And now we have to. I mean, the actuality is we are Gaia-centric. We are aspects of the whole. We are symbiotic with all of nature and reality. And whether we think so or not, we're not here to dominate the world. We're here to be in harmonious, synchronous, symbiotic, loving relationship, conscientious relationship with the whole. So this is the time. This is the time to embrace that we are of nature. We are not rulers of nature. We're not stewards of nature, but we are just an aspect of nature to be in flow with the rest. That dawning, that recognition, that Gaia-centric, Earth, Mother Earth, wife-centric view, I feel is really the thing to pick up and nourish and flourish and embrace in ourselves. When we do that at a soul level, it starts showing up at a physical level. So we need to embrace that soul level of knowing we are and part of this great Gaia dimension.
One of the challenges I've heard the conscious collective voicing in the last couple of years in particular was the shock and surprising nature of how this, the dark endarkment, I like that, how that showed up. It was like a rug being pulled out from under their feet and they weren't able to get back into their power to anchor the energy. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, the thing with that type of energy, that type of disempowering energy, it comes across very strong. It's like a bully that looks strong, but if you were to investigate and take time and look behind the bully's external facade of strength and power, really there's someone hurt or in fear or having a lack of self-esteem and not valuing themselves. And when people don't value their own inner nature, how can they value other people? That is the true power. It's not a power that comes from might. It comes from when we see people like that, when we see politicians, when we see leaders that are not exemplary. I mean, that's a joke. Who is exemplary? In demonstrating those highest virtues, especially in those worlds where to get to those high places, you might have had to play all types of games other than of the light, you know, other than of absolute truth. So the actuality is we have that power by recognizing that these are the expressions of bulliness and endarkment. They're just divine beings as well. That's it. And when we recognize them as this is the choices that they're making based on who knows why, who knows where, taking this loftier approach, and then recognizing that I am equal to this. I am not a victim to these energies. I am not below them. They cannot manipulate me in dark and nefarious ways. They can't attack my aura. They can't infuse my space. These are all imprints, even in the human potential, spiritual worlds, that continuously feed the fear that the invisible world can harm us. I believe there's more in the visible world that can harm us that we need to be aware of than the invisible worlds. And there's far more power in the invisible worlds to draw from to fortify us in any world, anywhere, And that's the attitude to have that's far more empowering than one that's constantly looking our shoulders or looking in our etheric or in our subtle bodies for nefarious influence, because that'll never end. Those worlds are constant and never ending. But the path of the warrior sage is what Stuart Wilde and my teachers taught me, and it's a path where we recognize we are the divine being embodied already. We do not need to be in fear of these things.
I love that. How do we get our boundaries, our energy bodies, ourselves empowered and strengthened or re-empowered so that we know that and live that?
That's a great question. This is, you know how martial artists, they have to go to a dojo. I'm a martial artist. I train in a dojo, is what the Japanese call it, a place where you go to consciously develop your strength, your armament, your clarity, your wisdom, your truth, your humility, and your power, all simultaneously, right? So I believe that if each one of us is willing to take on physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual disciplines, that we need healing as well, but we also need disciplines. So much in our spiritual worlds, there's a lot of work around healing going on, healing of ourselves on multiple levels. And that, by all means, is so valuable. I don't want to, discount that in any way. But also with healing must come concerted actions in life. There must come disciplines and practices. So we can heal ourselves from past emotional wounds. We can integrate limiting beliefs and thoughts and imprints and associations we have through healing methods and healing philosophies. But then we also have to have the disciplines to say, okay, like you you took up the discipline of belly dancing years back, and now, you're a performer and trainer and teacher. And I remember when you started that journey, I mean, your whole life transformed because you took on a physical discipline. You were already at that time so profoundly astute in the spiritual domain, but you took on the physical dimension at the next degree, and that up-leveled everything, right?
Yeah,
so
totally.
I believe the same thing is true for all of us. We have to take on, and it would be good for everyone to get involved and do some martial art training to learn how to strengthen their physical sense of well-being, their external body feeling good, the mammalian side within going, yes, I can handle myself. When the mammal feels more confident within ourselves, it allows that energy to ascend beyond the three lower chakras into the higher chakras. But if the mammalian body consistently feels fear, then we are consistently drawn back to the three lower chakras of survival, base sexuality, and the seeking for power, which never ends.
Mm. It's interesting. I remember the first day I met Stuart Wilde. He looked at me in horror and said my energy boundaries were like just not there. Porous, spongy things. And he's always been,
yes.
He always told me to do martial arts. So that's still on my to-do list too, because it's so connected to physicalizing the non-physical, the energy, right?
Exactly. We could do all types of energetic work, and that's valuable, and I advocate that, and I do that. I study and I practice that myself. Yet it's getting into the physical body, because we are a multidimensional being, and our physical body is of this vibration, and this is the one we're relating with the world. And so it's very valuable for us warrior sages who are drawn to this path of one foot in the metaphysical, one foot in the world of the material. Those of us who have that calling, like you and I know we're of that ilk, then cultivating the ascending line of awakening and ascension and spirituality and enlightenment is valuable, but also as valuable is the descending line of making sure our bodies are strong, are healthy, we're getting vigorous with our body, and that we're, and like I say, the warrior of the warrior sage part is, yes, do a foundational self-defense training. Krav Maga is a very powerful Israeli martial art. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is what I study, which is very powerful and very pragmatic martial art that anyone can learn at any age. I highly recommend Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's a great place to start strengthening your body, mind, emotions, and your spirit, and then continue to do the work of inner meditation, inner awakening, whatever that is, but combine it with strengthening your body, and boom, you'll be a 1-2 knockout influence and person of impact.
How has your work evolved in preparation for the time we're now in?
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, Nicole, but this Saturday it will be the launch of our Warrior Sage International Consciousness Dojos.
I signed up. I'm coming.
So how it's evolved is this. For many years, as you know, I gave private seminars to students, to all types of leaders, people who came together to learn the path of the Warrior Sage. And I got a strong calling from Spirit over the last, 2 years, that it's time to bring this out to the greater public and greater whole, and to help communities create dojos. You know, dojo is the Japanese term for people practice martial arts and improve themselves together and commune together. So this Saturday, we're releasing our first Abundance Activation, which is our first Warrior Sage Dojo, and everyone is invited. And how it's evolved is very simple. Now this is all for free. Our whole trainings, the whole path of the Warrior Sage, all our community events, there's no money exchange whatsoever. And the intention is that us Warrior Sages find each other, come together, find out what our deepest goals, dreams, and our soul calling is, what we're meant to do, so that we live and die in love complete, you know, without regrets, and that we foster each other to live that way, and we arise together. So that's a huge evolution in my work, in the sense that it's time to bring it out to the world, time to bring Warrior Sages around the world together, and to foster this this form, this particular strand of empowerment, which brings the power of the warrior and the wisdom of the sage, and evokes that in each other, and we get to grow together. So as I think you can hear it in my spirit, I'm quite moved and called by this, you know.
Beautiful. Why is it all free?
Well, we need to get into the hands of everyone. We need to get warriors to come together and to really cultivate and create communities together. The number one thing that's missing in the human potential world and amongst warriors is coming together for real face-to-face and contacting and connecting and practicing together. So that's why it's all for free. I have my other, you know, I make money from my consulting and my coaching work, the work I do with businesses. So because that is where my livelihood is. My livelihood doesn't need to be made through my seminars and our trainings anymore. So my whole team decided we need to bring it out to the world, and that's why we're doing it.
Why is the focus of the first one abundance?
Well, the three main yogic warnings that we need to be aware of, that the ancient masters have told us about, are sex, power, and money. These are the forces that either can destroy us, we can shoot our own self in the foot. It's the area of the most ignorance, the most ego, and the most darkness on our planet, sex, money, and power. And so those are the three trainings and activations I feel are the most valuable for people to start with and to have a good base of self-realization and awakening with. So abundance is all about removing the obstacles in our consciousness to not just making more money. You know, there's tons of how to make more money courses. You can, you know, one popping up every day if you go online. But very few people are sharing about how to have wisdom, how to unify our enlightenment with our creation of freedom through wealth. It's a whole different way of looking at it. So that's what we're helping people experience. And I believe if we just go for more accumulation right now, more and more money, and only look at abundance as more gain, then we're going to self-destruct and destroy the world. We need to have a viewpoint and awaken our viewpoint, elevate it, mature it, to be a whole system viewpoint of wealth, where how I exchange in the world and receive in the world be for the benefit of the greater whole. So this is the new paradigm. We get it in our heart, but how do you actually live it is what the abundance activation is all about. And I think
that
it's valuable. It's very important that people learn to remove the obstacles of their mind regarding wealth and then come together with other people who care about the same values and wish to arise and support each other and come in together.
Well, our programming around such things from an empowerment standpoint is so deep. There's so many layers to it. So I think that is really important work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Recently, when I talked to last week, I think it was, former CIA remote viewer David Morehouse about the current situation on the planet, and he was describing the fourth turning of the cyclical humanity patterns and coming into hopefully a creation phase, the next phase. Where do you see us with that as far as coming out of the current situation without too much destruction?
Oh, you know, in the yogic, in the Hindu system, there's four yugas, the four great ages. In the ancient Kamishan system, there's five phases of the return of the light. And in the ancient Egyptian or Kamishan philosophy, is parallel with the ancient, Hindu philosophy, in that we are now, the tides have turned. We are now ripe for great consciousness, the return to the fullness of the light. So imagine we were in a one time it was a fully enlightened society in some mythical time or dimension. And then through time there was a degradation and more ego, more individualness, more meanness came in. And then later it became half and half. And then later it became more predominant, what they call the Kali Yuga or the time of the dark, where ignorance and illusion and manipulation and ego and greed and all the lower values were reigning. And in much of the world, that's happening a lot. But the tide has shifted energetically. The tide has shifted into now really the most profound time of the quickening of human consciousness and unity that I've ever seen. In the events and the trainings I've given, people are attaining self-realization in record speed. People are growing what used to take months and years to have breakthroughs. They're achieving in like minutes and hours, really. And so I know that for those of us who wish to be on the cutting edge of transforming and quickening our evolutionary space, who we're meant to be, what we're meant to be, our space of highest shining, it's our most highest opportunity to find, discover, and align to that and to express it.
I know you've kind of addressed this already, but how do we, if we can, if it's in our highest good to do so, speed up the process?
Well, exactly. Well, the quickening is happening, and so an active engagement in training. Of course, everyone is welcome to be part of our Warrior Sage Dojos, if that calls you, but really, it's what are the things that really move you? Is it yoga? Is it meditation? Is it martial arts? Is it some form of pilgrimage? What is your within saying? What within your soul is yearning to be experienced? What's yearning to be expressed? What's wanting to happen in your soul that perhaps you've been not looking at or repressing or shunting off? Let that side bloom and ask yourself, what's wanting to emerge in my life? And when you ask yourself, what's wanting to emerge in my life? And you also ask yourself, what must I do so I live and love and even die complete without any regrets? These powerful questions will elicit the deeper truth. Now, the warrior within follows through on that truth and says, okay, if inside my heart says what's wanting to emerge is more time in nature, more time to read, more time to take on more disciplines of meditation or nature walks or waking up earlier, what to do is follow through. How you'll quicken now is following your impulse. And by following the impulse, you're training yourself to have loyalty to the inner calling, to the inner messages, more than the distractions of the world. And your loyalty to the inner callings will speed you, your spiritual evolution so fast right now, it's just going to have you spinning. It's going to have you evolving, spinning, and learning lessons at a record time. But What's beautiful about this time is also we do not have to have those lessons accompanied with the hardships of the past. We can actually grow in gentle, harmonious, transitional ways from old consciousness to an awakened consciousness. And we can do this now in a time with the least amount of wrecking our lives and starting from scratch. We can grow from where we're at. And that is the beautiful time that we're in right now.
We actually have an email question from Maureen in Ontario, and she's asking, how does one buffer the effects of the negativity which are causing her to get sick and feel exhausted and lack of motivation?
Again, it sounds like she's been knocked down for a while, you know, and some of us have been knocked down for a while. The first thing that you have to do is you got to get away from the influence of all the chaos. You got to say, okay, I'm going to go away for a weekend. I'm going to take 3 days. I'm going to take 5 days. I'm going to take 1 day. More than what you think is sensible, dedicate yourself to this time of divine replenishment where you're saying, I'm going to remove myself, as our teacher Stewie would say, from the world of TikTok, from the world of my mechanistic habits. If my Saturday and Sunday are mechanistic this way, I'm going to break away. If everyone expects me to be around and do this and this, I'm going to arrange it so that the kids are taken care of by grandma or a friend or whatever, and I'm going to go into get an Airbnb in some cottage somewhere in the boonies for a weekend. Whatever, it's not what you do. It's that you dedicate yourself to removing yourself from the chaos for a few days, where no cell phones, no internet, no waveforms, no, you're not around any transmissions from the outside world. You've shut yourself off from that, and you've said, this is my time for replenishment. You take a book, or you do nothing, and you be with the great Mother Goddess of Earth. You do nothing. You enjoy. You just be with the truth of your body, of your heart and your being, and just that, there'll be a quickening and there'll be a natural healing process that starts to denature and deconstruct and allow those negative energies to go back to where they came from, because you're going to where you came from, which is the heart of Mother Earth.
Ooh, I think I need to do that. Wow, that's a really good idea. So bottom line, getting in the moment, getting focused on where we're going and doing the physicalized thing. What else would you add to that? Do we still have you there, Satyan?
No, I'm just feeling what you're asking. And as I was hearing your question, it's really not about what else needs to be done. It's about taking what's simple here and what's touched you and starting with that. We can constantly have more insights and look for more insights and look for more teachings and look for more solutions. But really, what is the biggest thing that stood out today, really? And what's true about that? And let's start acting on that. And that is where our true power will come from, not in the quantity of disciplines or practices or more insight we have, but the loyalty to the adherence of living the smallest insight that holds the biggest truth for me right now.
That's powerful. Love that. As we're addressing a global audience right now, what's the one, as we kind of gathered our points together for the end here, what's the one most important message we can have you relay to them today?
There is something inside your soul that if we look at is yearning to emerge, that wants to be lived and brought forth and expressed more in your life. My heart request and nudge and a little punch on your shoulder from the warrior in me and a little pinch as well and a hug is saying, be loyal to that today. Start changing your world so that your loyalty to this inner calling within you becomes more and more strong, and that you love that part in yourself enough to act on that calling that's wanting to emerge. And when you do so, I promise a miracle will start to occur in your life. And it's going to bring you into the world of greater sacredness, greater mystery, and it'll bring you into the world of miracle-mindedness. But you have to initiate the miracle by listening to the miracle that's wanting to be birthed.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you, Sadhguru, when I saw your announcement for your Saturday program, I registered and I hope to actually physically be able to attend, which would be amazing. Maybe have your office send over the details to us. We'll get it posted on the News for the Soul site along with this when we post this archive.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
It was so good to speak with you, Satyan. I look forward to doing it again sometime soon.
Thank you, Nicole. Much love to you, and I look forward to having a lot of fun with you once again and seeing your amazing dancing again, sister. So I'll see you Saturday, okay?
I hope so. Much love to you, Satyan. The one and only Satyan Raja, Warrior Sage, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.